The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, before you get into the show, which I know you're super excited to hear because every fucking show of Thinking Outside the Long Box is amazing, we want to thank our Patreon supporters, Chad, Ryan, Derek, Doyle, Devin, Taylor, Jason, Steve, and now Christine. Thank you so much for being a part of this show by donating to us on Patreon. If you too would like to support this show and keep it going every other week after every other week, then you can go to patreon.com/TOTLB where you can get your choice of all sorts of cool bonus videos and awesome prizes like hats and t-shirts, original sketches. I don't know if you guys follow Tim Husky's artwork on Instagram, but one of those original sketches got colored and it was fucking amazing. So join us today at patreon.com/TOTLB. And to those of you who are already subscribed, thank you so much. We appreciate you more than our own assholes.
Live from Juan's basement, where upstairs his wife is feeling it from last night. And I don't mean sexually. She had too much to drink. This is Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan, Gabe, Doyle, and Tim.
I'm just going to comment on this while we're recording.
That's all right.
At random.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
We're recording right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 97 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
It's been so long.
I'm Jim. Doyle.
I'm Juan.
And it's awesome.
You can't. Hey, no, you can't carry over the joke.
It's true,
because that ruins the continuity. And they'll know that we recorded the episode on the same day that we recorded the last episode.
John's not here right now, but I will say, when will then be now?
Ah, that's good. I like it. Oh, man.
We are everly. Everly? Is that a word?
Nope.
We are creeping ever closer to episode 100.
That is correct. I have to
three more episodes.
I don't know if you're creeping anymore when you're like three episodes away.
Yeah.
Krispy Kreme.
Like it's at the doorsteps.
Donuts.
I have to contact
jelly beans.
My tattoo artist
that sounds
and set up our tattoos for November.
You've been saying that for a long time now.
I know. I talked to him about it at Colorado Springs, though. Yeah. So.
You're going to get the teardrop one?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, idiot.
This means like, kill the guy.
Yeah, definitely stupid.
Wow.
Yours is like way more Mexican than mine.
But it was
stupid.
It was also kind of gay, though. It was like gay wetback.
Oh, buddy.
Come on.
You're like, see what I mean? You see what I mean?
I get it.
See, my back is wet. Come on.
You wasted $50 of Juan's money. That's all I'm saying.
I came down with the Mountain Dews, and I was like, I have no idea what video they're talking about. I was like, don't feel bad, man. I don't either. And the video I recorded from Frankie's, so we probably shouldn't put that up either.
Oh, no, we're fine.
I don't know what video that is.
Yeah, it was just me sucking Tim off.
See anything.
Can't confirm.
It was just beard. It was just beard
and pubic hair meshing together over and over again.
For some reason his teeth kept clanking together.
It's so meaty. Oh, that's disgusting. This took the weirdest turn ever.
Just imagine like me and Gabe. But then also imagine lasagna at the same time.
Lasagna?
Yeah. Ooh.
That's a weird fat
sir,
skin.
Something I'll tell you that
hair.
I learned a long time ago is you never want to bring ricotta cheese into a sexual situation. It is not.
That's the wrong kind
smooth.
Of melty cheese.
It's kind of flaky. It's weird. Oh. It's weird.
Oh, shit. Oh man,
you find it later.
Me.
Hear that, ladies? Doyle's down for anything.
Not ricotta. He just
not
said
ricotta.
That. He literally just
he would
said
do
that.
Anything for love, but not ricotta cheese. He won't do that.
Blue cheese, though.
Oh.
Doyle's like, yeah, baby, rub that Limburger all over me.
Get over here with that from under.
What's that fucking cheese where like maggots are in it?
Blue cheese.
Oh,
Blue cheese is rotten cheese. Well, it's all rotten cheese, I guess.
It's all rotten, bro. Cheese
that's like actually eaten by maggots and then shit back out.
Yep.
And it's supposed to
I feel like, I mean, no offense because this is what your kid's selling, but this is all just white people shit. It's like, how can I hold a taco? You should just hold the fucking taco. But it's like a taco stand for the tacos.
There goes and the cookie dunking just more spoon. Examples of why I can't release this that video.
Why?
Side note, I'm going to get coffee cake. The coffee cake in there looks fucking phenomenal.
This turtle cheesecake looks fucking awesome.
The one on the bottom right?
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody bought that.
Actually, there are a few little gadgets in here that look pretty cool.
So,
what's up? It's been a long time since I've seen you.
Why? Why you gotta make fun of how I laugh? God, why? Why?
I love you, Gabe.
Oh, it's so funny.
Fucking love you. Don't worry, I'm gonna less you later.
Like, I can't tell you, like, seriously, I mentioned this in the last episode. I get so self-conscious.
You did? I don't remember.
Because it was so long ago. Fucking dumb fuck.
Side note, this Jimi Hendrix looks amazing, by the way.
Oh, so let's bust these out. So let's talk about
this. Well, I don't want to bust them out yet because I want to put it on video. I want to put
on
video.
But I just
let's look at them here.
So we got some product from...
And I got shit because I didn't know if Sulu was an alien or not.
Didn't know Sulu was an Asian or not.
No.
Let's go back.
No. Hold on.
Let's wait. Talk about the product first. Okay.
It's Migo.
I bet you're super thrilled that you're associated with this show.
So Target exclusive.
We've talked about sex and racism.
All things considered.
They actually look really good.
So they're nice. Amazing. Like, and they look like the old Migo toys.
So that's the first thing that I noticed when I opened them. I said, these look like they were they're ones that came out 30 years 70s, ago.
Yeah.
It's that rainbowed logo.
Absolutely.
Did the old ones have 14 points of articulation?
I don't think so.
These ones do one.
I was not alive when they came out.
The new Migo has 14 points of articulation.
I was not alive when they came out and then went bankrupt.
Classic.
Also, Sulu has slanted eyes in the Migo version. It's authentic as shit.
It doesn't get any better over here because Dracula's definitely suffering from a case of the Whitaker eye.
He's got that.
But I like that because it's
Dracula's speaks, like 1,000 years old.
Well, it speaks to like the retroness of like old figures. You know,
so when is
you
that the three that like Star Trek figures on the back that got released?
Yes.
They made Lieutenant Sulu a Gorn and just a Romulan commander?
Yeah.
Well, they don't have all the licenses yet. So
to listen to our fucking show.
I didn't listen to the Migo episode, I gotta lie.
But he does talk about them being, at the time, being in the process of getting more licenses for the product. But they don't have all of them again.
That makes sense.
He said they can't touch anything, obviously, from Disney or DC at this point. But they're trying to get some other things.
The Hendrix is very detailed in the outfit.
So is the Bela Lugosi Dracula. Like, he's got the little pearl buttons on his waistcoat. He's got the bow tie. Like,
I think Jimi Hendrix's vest here is actually real leather. Yeah, that's fucking leather.
Is it?
Or pleather, yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
I feel
for
like
real.
The Sulu, they kind of went half-ass on the gun a little bit.
Let's see it.
It's just like a plastic one-color gun.
Yeah, let's swap. These are fucking cool as shit.
Also, speaking to attention to detail, they nailed Jimi Hendrix's guitar because he was left-handed and he played a right-handed guitar upside down, and that's what they gave him.
Dude, this is 100% the phaser from Star Trek. They look like.
Teal green.
Well, yeah, but they're not going to do... They're not going to do, like, super high detail level colorization.
Look at
like
the guitar.
That.
It's going
right, but that's Jimi Hendrix, and that's how his guitar looked.
It's also
like,
his
this
only
is...
prop in here, bud.
Yeah.
He's that got... is his only prop.
No, it's not.
He has a radio and a gun.
And his tricorder.
It still looks
belt.
Amazing.
Ugh.
It still looks amazing. I'm not saying it doesn't, Migo.
Gorn.
It does.
I like these, man. These are fucking cool as hell.
But the Lugosi is pretty detailed in the face.
I'll be putting pictures. I haven't put pictures up because we didn't talk about them yet. So I'll put them up today so that everybody can see what they look like. But
question. What is the name of the episode in which Lieutenant Sulu is trapped on a frozen planet? Answer, The Enemy Within. Does yours have trivia? Does yours have Jimi Hendrix trivia?
Yep.
Let's hear it.
What was Jimi Hendrix's very first electric guitar? A Supro Ozark 1560S.
That's a weird name for something.
That's code for, like, this was like a 1960s piece of shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not a guitar company I'm from.
They look cool.
I'm sure it's very sought after.
How about you? What's the Bela Lugosi?
From where did Bela Lugosi derive his professional surname? Logos Hungary, the town of his birth.
Oh, there you go. So we all know something new.
Get some.
From Mego Toys. So, yes. Mego, thank you for sending us these. They're really fucking cool. Like, they're...
We'll do a video.
Yeah, we'll do a video opening of us them, opening
kind of looking at
goddamn
them.
Goddamn Snapple of action figures over here.
I don't know what that means.
Either.
Like, Snapple has all the facts on the
undercap. Oh, gotcha. There you go.
Not all of the facts under Snapple caps are real, Junior.
It's true. Some are fake. Mm-hmm. But we don't know if Mego's on the level either.
His pants are
I don't know, man.
We're going to go out of our way to
Dr.
say that.
Dr. Mego was pretty detailed.
Yeah.
I believe you, Mego. I believe you.
But it's pretty cool. I dig them.
Yeah, they look good. They
look really good.
We'll play with them a little bit. Shh.
Hashtag butt stuff.
All 14 points of articulation.
Up my ass.
Classic 8-inch figure. Ages 8 and up.
Ooh.
Wow.
I'm just reading what's on the box, man. Why you got to make it weird?
8-year-olds, dude.
8-year-olds, dude.
Oh, so which one of your kids
Hashtag
is 7?
Callback.
This is a callback from last
last week.
Yeah, last week when ago. We totally recorded
last 2 weeks ago. Yeah, yeah.
I thought Hannah was like 5.
Hannah is 7.
I honestly thought you had some weird kid that I just did not know about.
I mean, that's very like... possible. But...
I said the same thing.
Project.
You didn't know how
everywhere.
That Hannah was 7?
No, I said it's very possible that you have another kid locked in the basement somewhere.
We're not locked in a basement.
I was like, Hannah's obviously too young. The next one's obviously too old.
And then, no, she's 7.
And the other one's just right.
Ooh, wow, Tim.
Huh.
All right. Anybody have things to talk about, or am I once again the only one that brought notes?
Side note, you say that in everything, and I always have notes on my phone.
Oh, I always forget you have them on your phone. I roll.
I hate you.
I know.
You're the worst person alive.
I am.
Wow.
Didn't know Trump was in the room.
See, that hurt. Probably that cuts deep. That cuts deep.
You agreed to it.
Side note.
I was wondering why you had all those Tide Pods down in the basement.
Wow. I watched like 30 hours of Senate confirmation hearing or SCOTUS confirmation hearings. It was interesting.
Pretty entertaining.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's why you've been so like dismissive recently.
Dismissive? I was dismissing you? Oh, no. I was like, I don't remember that.
I'm very dismissive towards Doyle.
It's true.
He texts me. I'm like, uh-huh.
Sometimes it's not even that. I just wait.
Just don't respond for hours
at
a time.
Look at his face. He got all sad right there.
I am bad.
Like when we were all supposed to meet one day this week and me and Gabe just sat in the dark.
No. Don't start. Don't fucking start.
Where's my goddamn Klondike bar?
Oh, man. So I actually read some comics.
I have not read comics in a while.
I read the first three.
I'm behind.
I read the first three issues of a book called Her Infernal Descent. It's basically a retelling of Dante's Inferno through the eyes of a lady who's lost her whole family. And she's trying to...
This is a comic I want to read.
She's going through hell to try to find her family who is in hell. And it's really, really cool. Like, it's a really interesting book. I'm excited to pick up the next few episodes, issues. Sorry, we talked so much about TV 2 weeks ago that...
Yeah.
There are a lot of great books out right now. And a lot of, like, the big books are doing good right now, too. I know you don't like the main...
That's okay.
The main stuff, but talk Hulk's pretty badass right now. Hawkman's pretty badass right now.
Is that the Hulk? I can't remember his name. He's Asian, I think the writer or the artist, I think.
Yeah, I'm really bad with like people who create
me
things,
too. I'm
which
awful.
I shouldn't be.
I am awful about it.
That's a skill that I wish I had. Where like John's like, this is the writer, the editor, the artist.
The
book's like 80 years old. I can't do that with books I read weekly.
Yeah, I'm bad at that. I'm really bad at that.
I'm like halfway as good at it.
Short hair Hulk with a mohawk. Yeah, okay, that's the one I'm thinking.
New Hulk is pretty dope. New totally Hawkman's awesome pretty Hulk. Dope.
Yeah, that is what it's supposed called.
To be
called.
X-Men Gold has been amazing.
Oh, and that's
X-Men. Other X-Men, not so as much. Blue, red has been good. Gold has been good. Blue is.
Isn't that the one that got in trouble?
Gold when it like first came out, like
blue or gold.
I think it was gold, right?
Was it gold?
Blue.
I thought
it'd
it was
be blue.
Blue
I just can't remember anymore.
It's
been a while.
I wonder if that's why people are like, "Fuck that comic."
No, it's just not
that
as well done. I don't think.
Jews.
And now we got X-Men Black coming
what's
in.
The fucking deal, man.
I know.
We got a lot of X-Men's.
You know that there's too many X-Men when you're confused as to which one of them is controversial.
Which color? Which color? Well, the wrong one.
Hey, it's like three panels in one that are like, if you don't know about it, it wouldn't even be controversial to
exactly.
you. But it was.
And then because of the internet, like yeah. the people that are going to find it controversial are going to see it. So
does that mean we're jumping right into controversial topics?
I mean, we can if you want. I don't care.
I don't know what that meant. That is that the controversial that, hour?
Yeah. That's definitely news feed.
Breaking news.
It's not breaking news.
Something on X-Men was controversial.
By the time this episode comes out, it was like three months ago.
Not to mention it was at the beginning of the run of this comic, which was like a year plus ago.
Yeah.
We're talking about a whole different controversy.
Oh, new controversies?
Yes.
Which ones?
So, Alterna Comics. Have you read anything about this? The Comicsgate and the Alterna Comics thing?
I've heard about it, but I haven't read anything about it.
All right, let's go.
No, you tell us what we're talking about, Tim.
Alterna Comics.
No, what's it about? Talk about it.
Wow.
Go ahead and fuck yourself.
He took his glasses off even. Whoa.
My eyes are super itchy. Anyway,
you guys
are familiar with Gamergate, all right? Where guys,
I wasn't familiar with Gamergate.
Okay, so we'll backtrack a little bit. So Gamergate is where a bunch of like fucking Twitter trolls went and just started like lambasting like video game reviewers that were female and saying, "How the fuck could you know what you're talking about? You're a girl, and girls don't know shit about." Video games, yeah. Which is the stupidest sentence ever.
That whole thing has evolved too. Like it's gotten a lot worse.
It has gotten a lot worse, and it's ridiculous because, like, if you enjoy video games, who gives a fuck? Like, what race or gender or whatever the fuck you are, if you're going to write about it, just write about it.
Like, well, it's not even just that anymore. Like, a developer, Riot Games, was just caught red-handed for that shit recently, where their like female employees that were game devs were like being like. Not fucking, like, their ideas weren't being used, they weren't being utilized, their opinions didn't matter to, like, the company overall. It was a huge fucking deal for that company.
That's such a weird thing for me, and I don't even mean, like, as far as male versus female. If I own a business, and I think that you're gonna make me money, like...
I hope the mic picked that up, because I sounded amazing.
That better not spill on my fucking table, Doyle.
I'm the only one using a coaster.
I'm not even drinking anything. Somebody brought me this.
You said bring you one, asshole?
No, I did not.
Yes,
he did.
Yeah, well, no, send that shit.
I appreciate it, though. You've already had coffee. I appreciate
it. Stop making fun of your
life. I appreciate it.
No, you won't. You fucking dickbag. No, you won't.
You told a total stranger you were going to molest me last night.
Yeah, it was worth it.
Side note. If I think you're going to make
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
If I think you're going to make me money, I don't give a fuck what you look like
exactly.
or how if you have a dick or not or like none of that stuff matters to me. If you're going to make me money and I can line my wallet with cash, cool. Give me your ideas.
I may make an awful joke in your presence, but it's going to be
you
a
don't
joke.
Have a dick, right? Honestly.
I mean, it's just...
I don't care.
No, I don't care.
It doesn't matter a whole lot to us, like, obviously.
Right.
We don't give a shit. Like, Tim's white, Doyle's Mexican, Juan's Mexican, I'm a half-breed. Like, you know, we have whoever on the show. We talk to men and women that are creators across the board. We don't really give a shit. Like, we make fun of literally everyone. That's the point of our show. Like, we're going to poke fun at you no matter who you are, but we're not going to go...
Because it's in fun.
But we're not going to go on your Twitter page and be like, you don't deserve to make video games because you're a female. Fuck that noise. Like, you make whatever you want to make. Matter of fact, we'll encourage you to make it, and then we'll have you on the show. And
I can't make video games.
Yeah. And I love video games. Anyway, so that's Gamergate. These fucking douche nugget Twitter fucking bullshit artists that go on and, like, fuck around with people like assholes.
At aggravated artists. That guy's such a prick.
He doesn't even have a Twitter.
Such a prick.
So take that step and move it into comic books.
Right.
Okay? So they just expand their scope of bullshittery into, like, comic books. So, obviously, there are apps that have been developed where if... You're on Twitter, somebody harasses you, you can use this app to click a button that goes through the post and bans everybody that is saying whatever bullshit it is. Not bans from Twitter, but like blocks them from your page, right?
So it blocks them and the people who follow them.
Right. So
it's
you
throwing a huge blanket over
like one person that you had a problem with.
Right. But
you're like, fuck you, but also fuck everyone around you, fuck everyone around them, and then fuck everyone around
but
those people.
It's the American way, man. But it's my account. I can do whatever
it's
I want.
It's a tool. It's a tool that you can use for your personal account.
It's like a drone strike.
Kind of. Yeah.
What the fuck? Wow.
It's a true. Really like big solution
to a very a small problem.
Well, but here's the way I think about it.
You, that's how we or live.
Or a very specific problem. Yeah. It's a big solution and a blanket solution for a pinpoint problem.
But you or me, we have 1,000 followers or something. So if somebody's being a douche nozzle, I can just. Boom, yeah. Blocked.
Yeah.
But if you're like fucking Thor or Elon Musk or somebody who has fucking millions of followers, it's not as easy as sitting down and block. That's fucking
the
way
thing
too
I think
much
it's weird.
Time.
I don't think it's outside of their rights because do whatever you want. But the thing that's weird is if you say you have a Joe Rogan-like figure with a gajillion Twitter followers, right? And a guy pokes shit on him who's somewhat Twitter famous, 30,000 followers. You probably just blocked like 15,000 of your own followers too.
Yeah, but that's
His prerogative. Again, his prerogative. That's what we're getting to the matter of is that it's my Twitter has allowed me to make my own account and or Facebook, and I can be friends or followers of who the fuck I want. That's at the end of the day. That's what this argument boils down
so,
to.
So let's take the next step. A letterer. Like,
I guess I don't know if it works that way either. Not does it even, cross?
Yeah, it'll go across. It'll ban your own followers and other people's followers and whatever.
Even if they're not like participating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a bot. Like it's just it's, like
it only affects you and the people who follow you. It doesn't go past that though. So if like he's following you, it'll just take out you and him, but it won't take out the people who are following
him. I guess it brings up the question of like is social media owned by you just
no.
because it's yours?
No.
Then why would you have the right to block someone?
Because they've given me that right. Yeah. I don't own the space,
let's,
but Twitter.
Let's get
this
to the
angle. Yeah,
let's
this
skip
is,
forward a little
yeah,
bit. Because
this is not a Twitter or Facebook is not or Twitter is not involved
in this at all.
It's actually two other people
it's
who have
two
accounts.
Entities. So yeah. So let's we got to go forward or this is going to remain confusing for you.
I'm confused. I just thought we were talking about
no, you're confused.
Something
shut the fuck up.
Twitter is the medium.
No, well, no. That's we'll it.
Twitter's
we'll
the medium.
We'll touch base on that too.
Okay,
I know what you're talking
so,
about.
So. Alterna Comics and a letterer that was working for Alterna Comics, okay? The letterer got hired and people start harassing this dude. I forget why. Like, I can't remember if it's because he's Muslim or gay or whatever.
Probably one of those.
But people were like, you only got hired because of X.
Yeah, affirmative action bullshit.
Right. Which, A, isn't true because Alterna Comics is like a tiny fucking company.
They're not worried
and
about
it's
that.
Owned by an Asian.
Yeah, and he doesn't give a shit. So this guy uses one of those bots, okay? He's getting harassed, so he bans the dude and all that dude's friends, okay? And Alterna Comics says, it's our social media policy to not... You can't use a bot that way, okay? Which, as a company, that makes sense. They don't want to alienate a bunch of fans, especially as a small company, right? So what has happened is that the guy that...
They still allow you to block people individually,
yeah.
By the way.
If you block a person individually, they're fine. They just don't want you to use a bot to, like, blanket people. So I see both sides of the argument here. Like, the artist doesn't want to be harassed, and Alterna doesn't want to alienate their customers.
Yeah.
That's fine. Across the board, I get both sides of the argument. I feel like both people in some way are in the right. But if you're going to work for the company, just follow the policy of not using the bot to block and block individually if sure. that's possible. If it becomes an impossibility, approach your boss and say, hey, like I can't handle the level of harassment I'm taking and either make the decision to, you know, find some way around their social media policy, whatever. Like, I feel like a lot of this could have been alleviated with just conversations between
well,
the two.
So here's the thing. They had conversations. We obviously don't know what those conversations were
right.
or led to. But the guy just was like,
so
okay,
what was
I
the
don't...
buildup? Did the guy get, like, fired?
So that's that. Yeah, he quit. He quit, and he made an announcement saying he was going to quit and why. And then rumors started coming out saying that Alterna was putting out this policy that, again, it's hard. it's easy for me to say, I'll just block one dude. Yeah. But when you get a whole group of people who they're like, well, he blocked me and now they're going to go tell all their people to go harass you. Like, it's my account.
It becomes a snowball.
I don't want to spend my, I want to spend my day doing my job, not having to block fucking thousands of people. It's impossible.
Hire a publicist to do it for you.
Right, but this is just a dude that's a letterer for like a small press. There's no way he can afford something like that.
He doesn't have Kanye money to have somebody to take care of that for him.
So now this has gotten latched on to by like the diversity in comics people and the people that like I don't mean the social justice people that like are demanding diversity in comics. I mean like the dickbag that goes on YouTube and talks about how we should like rape Gail Simone and shit like that. Like he's a piece of shit.
The Antichrist.
Like so that group of people has latched onto this, continues attacking this guy who has already made the decision to quit his job so that he will stop getting harassed, and basically just said, I don't want to face this, so I'm just going to quit my job, find work elsewhere. Like, and the break seemed fairly amicable between the two groups. And now they've latched on to Alterna and been like, you're our favorite publisher now. So it tarnishes like Alterna Comics because it makes them look like they're the publisher that's going to work with the fucking shit faces.
Yeah.
Like, and it turns into this giant mess because a bunch of fucking dickheads can't get over the fact that sometimes comic books are written by women and people of color and fucking gay people that are better than the bullshit fucking comics you guys are churning out. Like, there's a reason books that are published independently and are done by other people than just like normal straight white dude are doing better is because that story, that superhero teenage white kid fantasy has been told a million fucking times. It's not a bad story. It's just not interesting when it's literally the only story that was told for like 30 years. Like, open your fucking brain up. Read a different book. Read something that was written by someone else. Like, dude, the Conan art that's done by Becky Cloonan is like the always best.
Back to Conan.
it is always about the Conan, but it's like the best update of Conan that's happened in like 30, 40 years. And it's done by a woman and it's fucking amazing and masculine and tough as fuck. Because you know what? She's a talented artist. And if she had a dick, she'd still be a talented artist. And if she was a different fucking color, she'd still be a talented artist. Like, none of that shit matters.
Let the work speak for itself.
Let the work speak for itself. And like, what's stupid is these guys go out there and they say that. They say, let the work speak for itself, but you only got hired because you're a woman. You're prejudging that before you've even had a chance to see any of this shit half the time. Sorry, it irritates me that not only did somebody have to lose his job, but also like a small press has this fucking dick group attached to their work now.
This is what society is structuring, though. Like, I believe it's like this is a societal issue and that it's being formed that way because of well-intentioned idiots.
Here's what I'll tell you, though. You, not you personally, we as a collective, we don't know why anybody was hired. I can't go into that person's mind and be like, he hired that person because she's a female.
No, I can't either. But what I was saying is, like, for every good thing, there is an idiot that's way outside of the line.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what you're dealing with this stage, right? These idiots who have crossed whatever good idea they started on, they crossed that line a while ago, and they just kept fucking going. And they're out in the front. But, like, that's the line that's being pushed everywhere, I feel like. It's everywhere. It's like, what you said is true. Doesn't matter that she's a woman drawing a male Conan. But all you hear on the news today is, like, is that Asian playing a white guy? Can't fucking do that.
Right.
In this, and I feel like that level of ridiculousness has started to cross over
into everything.
Into the fact where now we got like the ridiculous on the other side of the coin, but I feel like it's the same thing.
But
I feel like it started at a good spot where it's like, we need cultural diversity. And it's like, why is that guy, he's not cool, that's not his culture, you shouldn't do that. Into like, fuck you, what are you doing? Like, you're right. A piece of shit.
Right, so that's where...
Like,
that's
just
where,
weird to me.
That's where I would draw the line. If you don't like something and you think that it's shitty and you think that somebody got hired because she was a female or Asian or black or whatever, I get it. If you don't like it, you have the ability and the right to write an article and say you don't like it. Maybe it's not good. Maybe the story sucks. Maybe the art sucks. Maybe it does. But
if you're coming from a place of soul,
right,
just
of anger,
for, like, who that person,
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's where the line is drawn. Like, yeah. If you don't, yeah, like it, write an article, say something cool, move on, don't read it. Why do you need to find the insatiable need to fucking be angry and be fucking go on and attack them? Like, they're just doing their jobs. Like, why are you being a dick?
I don't see the need of it anywhere. It's like, if you don't like, I guess it's your right. I don't get why you give a shit.
Well, we do it here.
I can't find enough things that I like.
But I'm going to say this.
What I'm saying, like, is we do it here. We critique things we don't like.
But I mean, never so negatively as that.
I talk very bigly about... Yeah, I mean, I've already been called Trump today, so... I get irritated with things, and I talk about how I hate it and how much it sucks, but I'm never going to disrespect the effort that somebody put into making
it. That's the difference I'm talking about.
Battlefield Earth is a fucking trash movie.
But John Travolta has great films.
But, like, John Travolta has made great films, and a lot of people put a lot of effort into making it. And you can't deny the fact that they tried. Like, you know... probably like fucking 95% of the fucking shitheads that are going on and, like, perfect example, like Pia Guerra going on to her Twitter and being like, fuck you, bitch, you deserve to die, kill yourself, right, blah, blah, blah. I guarantee you 98% of those fucking pieces of shit have never picked up a pencil and even attempted to draw a picture.
Right? It's like, it's like, all right, talk shit. Fuck, have you done?
Yeah, what have you done?
How have you made the world a better place today?
You got on Twitter, like, and acted like a fuckface.
Every article that they've read and every news story they've seen and every fucking TV show that they're watching is propagating that message on a smaller degree.
Yeah.
So they're just running with it.
But
you still have to take responsibility for your own actions.
I am. I think it's our fault that in some way the society looks like it didn't look like this 20 years ago.
No, but I mean that individual. Just because somebody's telling you something over and over, or you're watching the news or whatever, doesn't give you the right to... I mean, you have it, I guess.
I guess this sounds sexist. I don't mean it sexist, but, like, I feel like it's another path of the pussification of, like, the people of this country. Like, 20 years ago, I just remember my older brother, right? Like, if someone talks shit to him in that foul of a way, he would just kick their fucking ass and not give a shit about it the next day. But that day has moved on.
But you're...
Like,
but
now
you're,
there has to be, like, gates and fucking
but you're
massive
talking,
block buttons.
You're talking about one-on-one individual instances. We're talking about masses.
Like, literally.
But I'm talking about... That's face-to-face, though.
No, I know, but all I'm saying
is... A billion people could tell me I'm a piece of shit. I don't care.
But if 40 people were around you, following you... And
if they're physically around me,
right,
that'd be weird.
That's what I'm saying. And critique, that's the space that these people live in sometimes, is that space. It's the same thing, whether I'm here face to face.
I'm not saying that they don't have the right to feel bad. I'm just saying that the fact that they are projecting that is encouraging the response.
I would genuinely say, though, I'm okay. Yeah. Like, if you want to critique our work, I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, I don't care.
Like, and I think that
I'm a Patreon supporter of a guy who made a 15-minute segment about me sucking dicks. Never once, sir, have I sucked a dick.
Shaq
will not come to my house.
I genuinely think that the people that get harassed are perfectly fine with somebody saying, I really don't dig your work.
Yeah.
And they're comfortable with that.
All the fucking...
Exactly. That's not the big deal.
Brian
the big deal...
Look at you, bud.
The big deal is when it's an inundation of, like, people not critiquing your work, but literally telling you, you deserve to die. And, like,
be raped.
And a lot of, like, be raped and that kind of stuff. That is not... That is crossing a line that didn't happen ever before social media. There was no point in time I guarantee you that there wasn't a point in time where
this wasn't, you didn't know about it as much.
maybe you didn't know about it, but let me finish the thought before you keep going. There's no point in time where somebody like Gail Simone 15, 20 years ago could have been at a convention and 10,000 people told her to kill herself or go get raped.
And that is the anonymity of social media.
They could have been like, your art sucks.
Or and they
I don't think it would have happened.
Or they could have said to her, "Go kill yourself." But it would have been like one dude, and she would have had that guy escorted out of the building.
Again,
like,
I don't think it's the individual's fault, and I don't think that they shouldn't take precautions. I'm just saying, like, the way that society has spun itself out is encouraging those trolls. I don't know how you fix it at this point because we're on like the. It's too big now.
Well,
the
internet,
to do
the internet has emboldened people,
but
because you don't have to look that person in the eye.
You should.
You're anonymous.
You don't
now.
Have to.
But you don't have to. That's
I agree.
The problem. Yeah. That's, like, there's that, no.
And for a company to,
I'm just trying to figure out how to wiggle around it.
For
what
a
I'm
company
saying.
To sit back and say you can't block these people unless you spend 2 hours
blocking
each individual people is bullshit.
If it's your own account,
it's bullshit. It's,
if it's
your account.
It's your own account, then nobody should be telling you how to
and
run.
And they're
it.
Freelancers. It they don't work specifically for Alterna Comics or
it
DC.
It would be one thing.
If once you sign
sometimes,
a contract with a company,
sometimes.
Lots of things exist that didn't before.
Like right. if I work for Marvel and I am posting exclusively Marvel material that I'm working on, then sure, they can tell me what to do with my account because I'm essentially just an agent for them
right.
anyway.
But Marvel's not calling.
But no, they're not calling me at all. But on and, my own fucking page where I'm posting shit from the show, shit from my life, like, fuck you, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah.
So if that was the case
but
for this guy,
also
then yeah.
completely capable of firing you for that.
And that's
right.
But
and that's
you know that. You know that yeah. as an individual. That's yeah. what I'm saying.
And that's why the guy chose to quit. Yeah. He knows as an individual that they can fire me for this, so I'm just going to quit.
I feel like it makes sense. Like, I know that they have to defend themselves and you have to put up. But I feel like at some point, people are going to have to stand up and just go like, fuck you. You can all say this. I don't care. I'm sticking here. I'm doing what I'm doing.
Which
and
is
I feel like the trolls fall off.
Yeah,
they
don't. I
don't
think so.
They do
no,
not.
I think they do.
So
they
don't. Legitimately.
As a creator that gets critiqued on social media all the time.
And
no,
again,
they don't
again,
fall
we're
off.
You have trolls. If you don't
again,
respond to them, that stick with you constantly.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, they follow you.
We're
I mean, in masses.
It's yes. They follow you because they want to see. Because they already don't like you, so now they want to see everything.
You're wrong.
No,
you're wrong.
You are.
Look at it from the other side.
Wrong.
How many people continually troll Donald Trump, even though he doesn't respond to any of them?
No,
he doesn't.
Dude, he gets thousands
on
and
Twitter.
Thousands of
he
tweets.
Barely says anything.
We're not talking
he goes
about...
on the news and addresses shit that comes out.
No,
at him.
I get that. I understand that.
He's
but
done
but
it multiple
it's not,
times.
But it's not everyone. That's the. But,
I just feel like I follow you on a lot of social media, and I don't see like a
so,
ton of people coming at you.
Legitimately, go look at
not
like
they don't.
Go
I had to
look
call
at
a guy out for talking shit.
That was one
and
guy
he,
though.
He was so
well, but
nervous.
You're looking
about
at this from a microscope
out.
Because we're I'm talking about people who have thousands and thousands.
I'm
of followers.
Just saying, like, how do you fix that problem? In
block
general?
Them. That's
block
how
them.
You fix.
That's
it.
How you fix it.
That's exactly how you that, fix it.
Did it fix it for him?
In today's day
no,
and
because
age.
His company said you can't do that, and so he left.
So then he left, and I assume that he blocked
and,
them then.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it in, hasn't fixed it, right?
In today's
it fixed it because he can't see it. That's in, what I'm saying.
In today's vernacular,
if you can't
the
see
only
it, what does
fix,
it matter?
Stop. The only fix right now is to block them. The fix overall is that there has to be a way to make people responsible for what they say on social media.
Right. That's all I've been trying to say.
And that doesn't exist right now. There is no real fix. Because if you get banned from Twitter for saying bullshit, you just make a new email address and sign up for Twitter again.
Yeah.
And maybe you make a new email address 15 times and sign up with 15 new Twitter accounts and attack that person 15 times. Like, that is literally happening where, like, people are creating bots to make 15 to 20 new Twitter accounts just to go after one person that they don't like.
Well, it's like those text bots where, like crazy ex-boyfriends would have a bot send, like, a million text messages to, like, their ex-girlfriend
well,
or something
there
like
were,
that.
There were artists with the company who broke off. There was a lot of them who said, look, a lot of them were saying Alterna and Peter are fine because he hasn't come out and said the you know Comic Tape people are right and my artists were shit or what he hasn't said anything he's stayed neutral and that's why he's getting from his own artists and shit that's why he's getting people leaving because they're like we're not going to stay around with these people if you're going to
not
disassociate yourself
if you're
from
not going to stick up for us then you're
So they've said...
Both sides are basically saying, if you're not going to stick up for us, you're sticking up for them.
So they've come out and respectfully said, I've spoken to Peter, we're no longer affiliated with him. And then they get fucking attacked for that. How dare you? Blah, blah, blah. And it's just nonsense. If I don't have... If Twitter doesn't give me the ability to be like, well, I don't want to talk to you, you're blocked, then I'm not going to make a Twitter account. Like, I get it.
That's where I think it needs to go, personally. But also, I guess I'm just weird. Like, if you want to talk shit to me, not only do I not care, and I don't care if there's billions of you,
If there's billions of people,
that's the problem.
I moved out of state once, and literally, I don't know how it happened, because I didn't interact, but I had a group of friends, right? And I moved, and we were all good. And this other friend that I had in Colorado that things went really shitty with for a reason that I was involved with, but it had nothing to do with this other group of friends, fucking happened to move into the same house that I moved into in a different state, which is crazy enough. Polluted everyone that I possibly knew around me. I didn't give a shit. Like, if they want to go into that depth and spend that time critiquing me, I just feel like it's a waste of their own fucking
time. So you have to think about this on like two different really important levels that you personally have not had to deal with, and I don't think any of us have had to deal with. A person that is creative, that is making like movies or television or comic books, sometimes is relying on social media to get the word out about whatever it is that they're working on.
That's the avenue that's different.
It's part of their job, okay? They're trying to actually accomplish something.
Yes.
And the scale with which some of those people are being attacked is so massive that it impedes their ability to do their job. Like, when you open up your Twitter and you see that you've gotten tens of thousands or 10,000 messages or DMs in your Twitter or just likes and comments and shares about bullshit to the point where it clutters up something that's your job so much that you literally cannot function on something that you need to do as your job. That is a very different
animal. How do you
change
that, though, if whenever you block them, they can just make a new account?
You can't. That's the problem.
Then you block them again.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm just trying to figure out.
I'm
trying to figure out how do you solve the issue. And if you can't solve the issue, why fight the issue?
So
if you could just make a new account every time I block you with a bot every 30 seconds.
Here's the thing.
Seconds.
Your sample size is very small. Let's imagine that there was 200
people. Nobody would do that to me. That's what I know.
Let's imagine that there's 200 people physically around you. Maybe they're not touching you, but they're impeding every fucking move you're making.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, that shit's going to get old, and if you could be like, block, I can't fucking see you again.
That literally happened to everyone I knew around me, not 250 people.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Your sample size is very small. That's why it's not as
big. The reason that I'm saying it is because I understand the sample size is huge. I'm saying, if what you're doing isn't working, how do you fix the problem?
It was working until Alterna said you can't do it.
But it's not working anymore, so I'm trying to figure out how he's
fixing
the problem.
No, it is working because it doesn't work there anymore.
He can turn on his bot and block people en masse.
So you're mentioning stuff I didn't even know existed, like things that make a billion accounts a second and come at you.
Yeah.
So I was trying to figure out, how do you get rid of that if you just block and then they just make new ones?
Well, you just gotta keep doing it.
You use programs that basically do the opposite thing. They're making, you know, however many Twitter accounts to harass you. You make something where you say, click, it mass blocks all
and
these
people. And typically, generally, especially if you get blocked from Twitter, they know the name that you're associated, the emails, all that kind of shit that's associated with you. It's working. The problem here was that Alterna said you can't do that. Because people at DC and Marvel do it all the time.
Regardless, it just sounds like Alterna took in my opinion, it sounds like Alterna took a really shitty stance and not.
I don't think they took a fully shitty stance. I think they took kind of an uninformed stance because they're a smaller company.
Yeah.
And as a consequence, there's been like a ton of blowback.
But that's the thing. It is working with other creators. From both sides. Other creators, actors, it's working. Like, those things work. This is just weird in that the company said you can't do it.
And as far as solving the problem of Twitter trolls, there's going to be no solution to it until you can say the things you say that could be constituted as verbal harassment face-to-face and are, like, actionable, like, legally, are verbal harassment, like, on social media.
Yeah.
Which I don't think you could ever do.
You would have a hard time doing it, but eventually
I need you to put in your birthday, your shit, all that kind of stuff into Twitter, nobody's going to – they're either not going to join Twitter or they're not going to be a dickhead.
You're already a fool if you don't think they have that information.
I don't think Twitter has my social.
But like to explicitly say you have to put in all.
I don't think
if
so.
If you explicitly say you have to put in all of your like legal contact information mm-hmm. and sign this agreement that says if you harass someone on, we will pursue you like legally.
Yeah, I think they should.
Then that almost all of that shit would go away. Because people think that they could sneak around it, but they would have a really hard time.
Yeah. And I may be just listening to like one side of the argument of where like I've listened to Joe Rogan talk about this like 8,000 times, not that specific incident, where he, because every single person who comes on his show seems to bring it up, that they have people that hate on them and troll on them. And he says he has the same thing, but he just ignores it.
Right, but
and I imagine that he has the amount of trolls that are insane.
I guarantee that Joe Rogan blocks people.
And I guarantee you that Joe Rogan has people that do that for him.
Maybe when he says he ignores them, he blocks them. That's his way of ignoring people. I guarantee he does.
Man, that's a big extent. I'm just saying, I think on a small scale, I think everyone lets themselves get poked in the eye really a lot, and it's like bred out.
Again,
at this point, it's bred out to a large scale.
Again, we've had this conversation before. I don't understand his stance on Facebook sometimes. I just don't get it. Like, because we've had he took a break and blah, blah, blah.
Sometimes I have to take a break.
We
from
had conversations.
Facebook
cause right.
Shit just annoys me. And, like,
oh, yes,
it
I understand
has,
that.
It has to do more with my personality right. than anything. Like,
more for me, I don't understand it because I'm small. I'm a small time. So I physically on Facebook can control what I see and what I can't see. Or what I can see, I guess.
The things on Facebook, why I don't do a lot of Facebook.
I'm not friends with people who I don't want to deal with.
I just don't like talking about it.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not friends with people who I don't want to deal with. I don't like pages who put out stupid shit. Like, I can physically control what I see on Facebook. And that's what's weird to me.
8 Facebook friends.
Yeah, I have 50 faith. That's what I'm saying.
Tim is barely one of them.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
It took me a year
though.
And a half to get in there.
It took 2 years, but he finally said yes.
But that's my point, is I have that control to be like, I don't need to take a break from Facebook because I literally control everything I see.
So it's a hopeless pit of despair and there's no getting
pretty
around
much.
It. Social media.
Until society collapses.
Social media and the internet is just...
That's the way. You
it's
control
it. A dark
it.
Place, but it's also a beautiful place. It's ironically dark because everyone's using it for the same fucking thing. It's just there's always going to
what
be an
what about our society breeds troll? It's more than that, though.
It's anonymity.
That
it's,
asshole
It's
is.
Anonymity.
It is.
It's to the be fact different. That, like, if I don't...
You could, if I could get away with... Telling Tim that he's a bitch,
and he doesn't
know
account.
Who it is, and I was just Tim's a bitch. I would absolutely do it, but I mean,
I swear to God, you know it's gonna happen.
I know now. I want to do it really bad.
In like 2 or 4 weeks, I'm gonna get just like bing, bing. Bing
it's
gonna be like your phone this morning.
That's what it's. It really is anonymity. I mean, when this shit didn't exist, I wouldn't thumb through the phone. I mean, some people would and do pranks, right. But I couldn't do it on the mass scale of Facebook or Twitter.
There is so much power in being able to say something to somebody not face to face.
Maybe that's the solution. If you talk shit to me, I have the ability, without you stopping me, of FaceTiming you in the next 15 minutes.
To be like,
that
oh,
would be
you...
a lot of phone calls, by the way.
No, I don't have to. I just have the ability. Like, fuck me, beep. Hey, how you doing?
your location is being sent to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? You don't like my comic for why now?
Yeah. Or you do what I do.
And that's
you
the thing.
Screenshot
I don't...
conversation, you put it on blast.
To reverse back feelings. I absolutely feel bad for anyone who's going through that. I would never be like, that sucks. No one should have to go through that shit. I'm just trying to think of like if there's any way to deter them. Because I feel like blocking does the opposite in my mind.
It emboldens
seems
them.
To do the opposite.
It does. I think it genuinely does.
But
I think
there are people who are doing it effectively and not they don't care.
No, I think you could block everyone in your sphere probably to where you don't see them. But it just like shoots them off into another person just like you harder than when they were coming at you.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's that divergence is where we see like the super troll now.
So,
like,
so here's the thing.
Fuck everything I see. Fuck everyone doing anything.
Here's the great thing about
like,
Facebook.
Coming at you.
Here's the really cool thing about Facebook is that you actually have to put a real name in Facebook. If they even think that it's fake.
Sort of.
Yeah. If they think that it's fake. Well, but I'm saying if they think that it's fake, then they'll stop you, and you have to send your ID to them, and you have to send things proving that you are who you are. Like if you want to go,
is that true?
Yeah.
Art. And then like maybe like
because Brad Nelson has an account called Bard Narson, and he's his number one friend on both. Well, and it's him in a fucking drawn as an eagle.
But they, if they suspect that you're fake, they'll make it happen. But the beautiful thing on Facebook is, and maybe it's not beautiful, but the accountability issue on Facebook is that people are in the I like to read the comments of things because it makes me laugh inside. But people will go to your fucking Facebook page and see, oh shit, you work at McDonald's? Well, I'm going to send this racist ass fucking rant to the McDonald's you work at and see if your ass has a job tomorrow. Yeah. Like, that's the shit that people are doing to try and fight people.
And that is what I love. Like, you like the video of that guy that called that other dude the N-word in traffic, that old white dude? Yeah. This video went viral. That, like, somebody like he filmed that whole altercation, put it on the internet, was like, here you go, internet,
right?
Do your thing. They found that fucking guy, they found his fucking address, they found his car, they found like where he lives, like they found out fucking everything and ruined that guy's life. Good. That's trolling for the better the betterment of the internet. For the betterment of the
world. Maybe you take it too far the opposite way.
You can take it too far the opposite way.
The circle was like a pretty perfect example of this,
I think. But here's the thing. I'm not by reaching out to his employer, I'm not attacking him. I'm just saying, look, are these the type of people who you want working for you? That's it. Right. And then you deal with it. Yeah. I'm not going out and being like, he's a cunt and a racist and a fag or whatever people are saying. You know what I mean?
Unless it's Doyle.
Call my boss and I'll give you his number.
His boss would be like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, he is. Hate that guy. I sent him 20 emails yesterday.
I'm good with criticism because I don't care.
I'm good with criticism. I'm just not good with people being fucking asslets to us, like, or to anybody.
I don't like, the thing I don't like on Facebook is watching people shit on each other. That's what gets on me.
That's what bothers me
it's
too.
Not,
like,
I could care less what they're talking about. It's just that I'll be like, oh, there's all of my friends fucking bickering at each other for 95 comments.
And it's not.
That's why I'm not friends with them.
And like, it's not. It's not comments like, here, let's have a rational discussion. I always appreciate that. It's always, you're fucking stupid.
I'll give you an example.
Two people we both know,
I'll give you an example over here. Josh DeLeon, every single time I see him comment on something on Tim's, he's a dickhead.
You know it's going to blow up. But in person, he's such a nice guy.
And he might be.
But he loves to play devil's advocate.
That's why I would never be. That's why I would never, ever, ever be friends with him.
But going back to that,
Josh DeLeon, FYI.
And that's why I keep
don't bother sending him a friend request.
He's not. He doesn't know me.
Going to force you to look at something from a different perspective. Even if you obviously don't agree with it.
And that's fine. That's not the issue for me. Every time I've seen him talk to somebody, it's been calling somebody something. Calling somebody a lesbian or calling somebody something, and that's fucked up.
That's a little weak.
So, no, I'm just saying.
He's just saying his insult game is weak.
Yeah, it's like, you can be the devil's advocate without just being like, you suck dicks.
I love being the devil's advocate. We argue about shit all the time. But
that's why I hate him.
But I've never been like, you're a cunt licking son of a bitch and I wish you'd die. Like, I don't, that's...
I feel like you have said that to me at some point.
You're a son of a bitch.
It did,
I hope you die.
It did come out very naturally.
Just roll right off the tongue for him.
It did. I feel like, did you rehearse that shit? Fuck you.
Awkwardly, that guy that came at you on Facebook, and then you went back at him, and he went back at you, and you went back at him, that ended up resolving itself well, though.
Yeah.
A little bit,
kind of. I don't know. Fuck that guy.
You know, I don't think either of you walked away going like, and
let's
we're
be buddies.
But the message at the end just was, let's do charitable shit for everybody. You know,
like, no, it was more like
it had a good thing at the end.
It was more like, all right, we're going to turn this around because you fucked it up somehow. But like, all right, we're going to bring something positive out of this, but respectfully, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel like it should end.
That's just why I don't deal with people like that. Because I know I have those people in my life, in real life, but I only have to deal with them for a little bit in real life.
just for a few hours every other weekend.
I don't want to deal with that nonsense on my Facebook page every day. So I'm just not friends with them. It's literally that fucking easy.
I'm also a respect for your enemies kind of guy. If he's going to come at me, then he's got some balls, for one. So you got to respect that. Because he came at me on his own account. Now, he could have botted me.
you know?
Yeah.
And I probably would have still put the conversation on blast just to let everyone know that this account is full of shit.
To be funny, though, or to be honest, I think that he's honestly that stupid.
I'm not going to comment anymore. Yeah.
When I was reading it, I heard that he's an asshole from a billion other people for a billion different reasons. But when I was reading that, I was like, I think this dumbass is really this stupid that he doesn't understand what's going on here.
Yeah. There's always a chance.
Should we talk about fun things?
Let's go back to fun things. Yeah. Oh man.
This whole
haters.
That's a great conversation we just had.
Send us some comments. Like
I love having
those conversations. I genuinely want to know what other people think, and if we get called SJWs, like,
oh, buddy,
don't
give
fuck
a fuck.
Yourself.
I
like
don't give
no
a fuck.
One cares. Like you're
I'm
not,
all for
you're
not anybody imp- being you're not creative imp- and making money.
I'm
for
just
themselves.
Saying, like, as it comes to our conversation, like, I,
if you're making
you
money
want.
By hating on us, please let us know how you're doing that.
Yeah, because
please. We're not making money existing.
Of
yeah.
Matter of fact, Doyle's spending money.
You can be a dick. Just subscribe to the Patreon.
Yeah.
Right there.
There you go.
There you go. There's your
subscribe to Patreon. You can call us whatever the fuck you want. We'll even put it on air.
If you have negative things to say about me, you can get the fucking line. It's quite long.
I'll put it on air, and then we'll make fun of you.
Behind all women in the entire black race. Like,
and a lot of Asians.
Not all.
And a lot of Asians.
Like every Asian.
At least
you don't
seven
want
eighths
Asians
of Asians.
Hating you, bro? They know karate.
I know.
And now they just got Bosley, too.
Juan Murrow, you just made the list.
Side note, this is funny, stupid. I'm watching...
Racist if it's true, bro. They do know karate.
I'm watching Iron Fist, and he is just fucking whomping these fucking... this team of assassins. And I told Alicia, I was like, buddy, these people are hiring the wrong Asian karate experts. Like, what the fuck?
I also love that you call your wife buddy.
That's a different relationship.
That is literally all I heard in that conversation.
It's 10 years, bro.
10 years strong.
10 years buddy.
Okay, so like a little bit of serious, but not as serious. Went to the movies and saw Black Klansman. It's the new Spike.
Black Klansman?
Yeah, I wrote it down the way they write it down.
No, I didn't even see that. I just am saying that that's how it's written down.
That's how it's written down. So, really good movie. As all Spike Lee movies are, it transitions from like hilarious to like super serious, like in really quick fashion.
Yeah.
Kind of like Coen Brothers.
Yeah, sometimes. But it was just a good movie. The end of it is intense because it's like just straight documentary footage of the stuff that happened in Charlottesville last year.
Mm.
And so you watch this movie, it kind of ends like almost sitcom-y cop show. And then, like, intense video footage. And it's like, whoa, wow. It's, like, fucking jarring as shit and really, really effective. But overall, really good. Apparently, he took a lot of liberties with the actual story.
True.
That the guy, you know, his actual memoir, which, incidentally, that dude was from the Springs, Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. First black cop in Colorado ever. Like,
wow.
Period. Not just in Colorado Springs. So...
I bet he took a lot of shit.
Yeah, he did take a lot of shit. Really cool movie. I'm about 20 pages into the book. Like, I'm super excited to finish it. Like,
doesn't it boggle your mind, like, as in, like, the stupidity of it, that, like, real racist and real racism is actually a thing?
Yeah.
Like, I remember when they legalized gay marriage, I was like, is that illegal? Like, I know it was, but it just seemed like...
It seems weird.
It's
like,
crazy.
It's like we're not that progressive yet at this point in our culture.
Like this mentality that somebody is less than you simply because they're a different color than
you.
Just seems so strange to me. Like, and it's, I don't just mean like white racist versus like black people. Or like
anybody can be racist.
Anybody can be racist. Like, I remember when I was growing up, my Mexican grandma made fun of black people all the time. There was like a really huge like racist element to, like, I love her to death, but holy shit. Like, I just remember.
Reminds me of Clerks too.
Yeah.
Maybe my grandma was a racist.
Hey, be careful. She'll put the sheeny curse on you. Holy fuck. Like, I remember my grandpa would make fun of my cousin because he was really, really dark.
I don't know why old Hispanics really don't like black
people.
It's the weirdest fucking thing.
It's just, it was a...
You gotta pick the winning side. At that time, white seemed right. You know what I mean?
God. But they hated us too. Like, dude, my dad would always tell me that he remembered when the stores in Greeley had signs that said "No dogs, no Mexicans," and that was in my dad's lifetime. Like, that's fucked up, man. Like, I don't know, it's weird. But
yeah, my mom was like a migrant worker for real.
Yeah, so mine was my too. Dad. So there you go.
She worked at the Onion.
It's just
the Onion things that no longer exist down in Pierce.
Right.
It's like, I understand jokes
when they're just jokes,
when they're for real lighthearted. But when it comes beyond that, I'm just like, really? Like, honestly, that's when, believe it or not, I used to work at a church and several.
Yeah.
Same wow.
Here. I stopped going to church because I couldn't grasp that the people were trying to get in the way of gay people getting married. I was like, to me, it makes sense that there's a part of the Bible that says this and that you have to address that. Right. To me, that makes sense. But beyond that, you're actually trying to get in the way of two people doing something that don't believe what you believe.
And that have even no you. Impact on your life
fucking
whatsoever.
Fucking insane to me. And the arguments that were being come up with were like, well, if we let this happen, what's when one guy wants to marry a turtle? And I'm like, what happens when you're so retarded that I can't listen to you anymore? Like, I guess that turtle's in for a good time. I don't know.
I
yeah, it's not like a piece of paper is going to stop him from doing whatever the fuck he was doing with that turtle.
He was fucking that turtle.
That turtle can't fucking stop him. So
somebody's that fucked up, there's nothing you can do to stop them from doing whatever they want to do.
Genuinely left the church when I went to a little. I mean, this is one of the many reasons I ended up leaving. But I remember going to a presentation about Muslims. That happened, you know, maybe like 2 years after 9/11 or whatever. And the guy literally said, all Muslims hate us and want us to die. And I had literally been at Texas Roadhouse with my two Muslim friends talking religion 3 days before that. I was like, those guys don't want me to die. Those guys are my fucking friends.
Man, this episode is taking a turn for the dark.
Real.
No. We'll get
I mean, it's like, it's the argument.
We're talking about Three Amigos in a little while.
Yeah.
It's talk about a
racist as fuck, by the way.
Cultural, this is a cultural appropriation.
Just wait till you hear how I listed the cast in my notes.
But it's the argument that's going around about Colin Kaepernick, you know, it's the same thing where they're where soldiers
we're
will come out,
people,
where soldiers will come out. I don't
listening
give a fuck.
To our shows.
Soldiers will come out and they'll be like, no soldier likes Colin Kaepernick. When
it's
one
soldier that told
a Green
to
Beret told
it.
Him to kneel, and then other soldiers will be like, I'm a vet, I'm fine with it. Like, like it's not stop putting a blanket over fucking everything and thinking everybody's gonna think the way you think. It's just it's nonsense.
My favorite tweet that I saw about the Colin Kaepernick thing was, I'm a vet and I fucking hate football. And that was all it said.
I
was like, awesome.
I love football. That's the thing. I'm going to pick on your wife a little bit because she posted something that said something to the effect of all football fans.
Right.
And I was like, that's not true. Like, it isn't I love
true.
Football. I'm fine with Colin Kaepernick taking. I don't give a fuck.
You love how football, you fucking racist piece of shit.
How does that impact me? In 10 minutes, they're going to start the game. Like, cool. Do whatever you want.
It wasn't racist when black people were dominating the fuck out of everyone. But one of them takes a knee and everyone goes insane.
It's the same. It's one of the same arguments I have with the guys that, you know, have the Punisher logo with like the blue stripe in it. It's like, you're aware that the Punisher kills a fuck ton of cops in the comic book, right? Like, I mean,
in the show, he is actively murdering servicemen left and right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
he's a vigilante. He's literally the anti-cop.
You know, and there's like this disconnect where like people like latch on to like these ideas and these motifs and they say everything about this is exactly about what I believe, and it makes no kind of sense.
It's the thing of like, you disagree with what's going on, and because you disagree, I'm an idiot for not thinking what you think. But honestly, like, you're the idiot for putting what you think on me as racism.
Yeah.
If that makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like that, you know, the picture of the, what is his name? The football player that went and joined.
Kaepernick.
No, the one that joined the military and died.
Pat Tillman.
Yeah. That's the one everyone's putting up. And I talked to Gabe about this. I was like, that would have been cool if Nike used that as a logo too. But it doesn't make the Kaepernick one wrong.
Well, but I think that he actually told people to before he
died. No, his family said that they don't want. Yeah.
They said stop putting his fucking he didn't believe that shit. Stop putting his fucking
But who cares? Like, I'm just saying, like, if they had made that one, that's fine.
Yeah.
The Kaepernick one's still fine too. But every post I see is like, because you think this, you think I'm a racist? Fuck you. I'm not a racist because I think this. No, I was like, I don't think you're a racist. Like, I think you're stupid. Like, you can't see past your own fucking chin and go like, it's okay that he does something that you don't agree with.
The white guy or the black guy who stands next to Kaepernick with their hand over their heart is fine. They can believe in two different things without being dickheads to each other.
They both are saying, I want to say something during the national anthem. This one, this guy says, I am going to sing it. I have my hand over my heart. The other one is saying, I'm trying to call attention to a specific idea.
And the fucking idea that, like, you saying that they should find a different venue, they have no larger venue than that.
Well, and
they're trying to display, but I'm saying if something absolutely means everything to you, which obviously it does because it cost him a part of his career. He didn't know Nike was going to sponsor him and throw money back at him. But, like, that's your biggest stage. If it means everything to you, why are you going to just talk about it in a closet with your friend?
And that's the thing. It's a lot of people go, well, he needs to practice what he preaches off the field, but he does.
Yeah.
He
he's not putting on a cop uniform and killing people.
LeBron James, who gets,
pretty sure he's never done that.
LeBron James, who
he's never beaten an unarmed black man.
LeBron James, who comes out and talks about Donald Trump. And then people who tell him, well, you should be cleaning. He does a lot of things for Cleveland. Yeah. Like, these people are actively being better fucking members of the society than you fucking are. Right. And that, it, you know,
All right. This whole episode is stupid fucking people doing stupid fucking shit. All
right.
Stop trolling people and get off Kaepernick's dick, you pieces of shit.
Stop being cunts to each
be
other.
Be you.
Hey.
Be you and be happy hate on that me. The next person.
It's okay. Yeah. I can take
Internet,
it.
Internet, though, thank you for the relentless, if it means
the
everything.
Memes are hilarious.
The memes have been amazing. Oh, God,
Sorry, Kaepernick, you got to go down for those, because that's good.
You're going to hell for yours.
So going back.
Which one was it?
The fucking Michael J. Fox one.
No, that's just true. That was Michael J. Fox crying to make his own meme, and that's what came out.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Hey, I put it in the right spot. I put it exactly where it needed to be. No, so...
I've been finding a few good ones, too.
So, the Big Lebowski one that I posted...
That was pretty good, too.
That one was cool, where the nihilists just say, believe in nothing. It's amazing. Like, there's a lot of them. Snapping the finger snap one. Oh, yeah.
The Thanos one was good, too.
It was good.
The
flat Earth one's probably my favorite.
The flat Earth one's pretty
funny. What does the flat Earth one say?
There you go, I got it right here.
Something even it means sacrificing everything.
I also, there's one that's Neil deGrasse Tyson, and it says, believe in something as long as there's scientific proof to back it up, and if there isn't, then get that shit out of your life, like, or something like that. It's pretty funny. I don't know. So, DC... DC Universe, that's what it's called, sorry, is about to release...
I don't think that's what it's called anymore.
Fuck Batman.
It's not called DC Universe anymore?
I don't think that's what they call it anymore, but go ahead.
But it's about to go live, or probably by the time this episode's out, it has gone live. One of the things, obviously, that I'm pretty excited to potentially see in the long run is the Swamp Thing TV show.
Oh, yeah.
It's being produced by James Wan, who was the producer...
Wan.
It's except for it's W-A-N.
I know.
It's, yeah,
it's called DC Universe.
It is. Okay.
Ooh.
But he produced Saw and Insidious, so he's, like, good with the horror genre, and he's also, I think, directed Saw and Insidious, and I think he's directing the Aquaman movie, too.
Yeah, but does he believe he's
an actual
wizard? So he
has one strike against him?
Well, I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
If he doesn't believe he's actually a wizard, I don't want him anywhere near.
They
cast
talk
magic.
they talk.
It's just
about
a rewrite. Don't worry about it.
I have the prices here. If you want me to say them real quick.
Yes.
Yeah. Go for it.
So monthly it's $7.99, and for the annual for the full year it is $74.99.
So that's actually not that.
What's
bad.
What's the math? What's $8 times 12?
Really one.
Oh shit! I thought one of you smarter guys would fucking know that.
Oh man, it's probably 100.
It's like
106 bucks.
96.
96 bucks.
So you're saving $25 each.
Yeah, which isn't too bad.
So
Wait, let me finish my Swamp Thing thought really quick, okay. And then you can go on. So
I fucking hate green things.
So they talked about Swamp Thing. I fucking hate green stuff, and I hate monsters. I hate Swamp Thing, and I.
But I'm not racist.
There aren't green people, Juan.
Fuck you, thing. There are green people.
So
they're dead.
Oh wow. Okay, here we go. So they are talking about how he's not going to look like he's in a rubber suit, but.
He will be in a rubber suit.
He is like in a full like body prosthetic kind of thing. So
that's the way you got to go.
I like what they did with Thanos. Yeah. Like he looks good. He doesn't just look completely.
There were a couple scenes where Thanos looked iff, but he looked good for the most part.
Yeah. What's his name in the Justice League? That fucking villain looked horrendous.
Which one?
Because it was way brighter.
Oh, Steppenwolf.
If you look at every shot with Thanos. Motherfuckers in the shade.
Yeah.
They did that right, because you kind of have to with a fully digital character.
But I don't think Steppenwolf was a person. I don't think there was anybody physically doing his thing, and then they put it on there.
I bet there was. It's just he's like physically in the sun, like in a field surrounded by real people.
Yeah, the scenes.
The technology is just quite not there yet.
And it never, I don't think it ever will be.
It might not be, but.
When he's on Themyscira, like broad daylight.
That's what I'm saying. They did that a little bit wrong.
I don't know, man.
So when you
Jason
cut to the
Miles
war,
pretty good.
When you cut to the scene where they're fighting each other, yeah, but Jason,
yeah, but that,
a giant
that's
monkey.
The thing though is like
a monkey's different because has fur. It's not like that's not the same thing.
They can
as
mask it in the fur, and they also mask a lot of that animation in action.
It did look awesome though.
Like it,
Rampage
he does
was
look
good.
Really awesome.
But, yeah, I bought that movie.
But so, the action side of it allows them to use
several times.
What's happening over
there?
It's Rampage.
Do you have titties?
What?
I got
titties. I guess it was male titties.
It looked good. It does. Let's it looks good. Look
better with titties. We're talking about titties over here.
Jeremy Renner posted on Instagram a picture of himself in front of the Avengers logo.
I'm actually excited.
He's talking about how excited he is to be in the new Avengers
movie. It's fucking crazy how much play he's getting for a side character. Right. Like, it's so crazy
right now.
Who
just happened to not be in that particular movie. Like,
now they're putting him everywhere.
Marvel was like, sorry, Jay. Look, man, you know what's going on here. We just don't have the money for you this time. We'll get you next time.
I don't think that's what's happening. Marvel's just forgetting where they put their money. They have so much money right now. Right? What song do you want? Buy it. They don't have to buy all of it.
It's in their
they
library.
They buy a whole company.
They bought the company.
That's what I'm saying. They buy all their songs.
They don't need to say, what song do you want? They say, what list of 500 goddamn million songs do we own?
We'd like to sample this Beatles song. It's cool. We bought their corpses.
we bought the Beatles corpses, and then we bought Michael Jackson's corpses.
We put them right next to Walt Disney's head.
We manifested a physical yellow submarine out of the minds of their fans. It's fucking crazy. You can use whatever song you want.
I want to read that comic book. I really want to read the comic book where we like
you
know take the Beatles you know the ideas and make them real.
You know the glove? Glovey? Yeah, he's real. We got him.
Wow.
Michael Jackson, not dead. He lives in my basement. We keep him well fed.
With Walt Disney's head.
Yeah.
And his nephew.
We fixed his nose. Don't worry. He's not weird looking anymore. You just can't see him ever again.
We made Michael Jackson black again.
Yeah.
MABBA?
Why doesn't that hat exist? Like, make Michael Jackson black again.
Oh my God. Juan, we have a new...
You have got to find out how much it costs to make hats, because we would sell a fucking billion of those.
Not much. I can definitely make hats.
Red hats that say, make Michael Jackson black again.
I don't think I could fit that on a hat.
You can put Make America Great Again on a hat.
No, they don't.
Those red hats, they say Make America Great Again in white.
It wouldn't even be that hard.
Coming soon.
No,
big-ass Sharpie.
Felix can make his hats.
Dude,
it's cake.
I need a hat that says Make Michael Jackson Black
Again. So do I.
Really, really bad.
Yeah.
You tell me how much that's going to cost me out of
trucker
pocket.
Trucker red hat? I'll make that happen.
Yeah.
Make it happen. Yeah.
This is one of
the
best ideas we've ever had on the show.
You're welcome, guys. You're welcome. I'm not even hyped for that shit.
Oh man!
Oh fuck!
Back to DC Universe.
That's it. Swamp Thing. What's his name from Encino Man?
Pauly Shore?
Not Pauly Shore, the other one. Brandon Fraser is going to be voicing Mr. Cyborg or Mr. Robot on
Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol.
Which I'm pretty excited to see.
God, you guys are a great couple finishing each other's sentences.
Yeah.
Yeah, we molest each other.
Yeah.
It's what happens when someone's inside you, Juan.
Oh.
You think you would know that about your buddy? I don't know where I'm going.
I didn't know what that meant either.
Juan has no friends.
That's all right. I'm okay with that.
Buddy, remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh,
that's true. I got you there. I didn't make that connection again. Call back to 2 weeks ago.
That was this week.
That was like 5 minutes ago.
Oh, my
that
bad.
Was on this cast.
See, this DC Universe real quick about. Strangers in Paradise, Pocketbook, Volume 4. My wife is rubbing her boobs on me. It's very distracting.
Jesus. How come only you get to talk about what you like about DC Universe?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, bitch.
Gabe.
You did cut him off. That's true. That's
I
true.
Did.
Let's go.
I did.
Talk about it.
No, I am really excited that you can next read topic. Comic books from their history, though.
Holy shit, what are you doing here?
Being hungover.
You look hungover.
I guess you're never going to get to say what you want to say.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Mulfrere.
Oh, and this?
Fucking ruined it.
Oh, I said what I was going to say. I said I'm most looking forward to the fact that you're going to go through their old library of comic books. Like, that shit's expensive as fuck. You're trying to buy it in real life and read all of it.
Yeah.
Like the fact
but
that
it's
you have...
limited. I don't think it's like everything.
I think they said it's going to be the entire back catalog.
And the fact that you could pull up side by side the inspiration for like an episode of a TV show with the comic book that it came
from. I do like the cross pollination. Like, you know, and it speaks a lot to what we talk about with like TV shows and movies and stuff. And they don't like reference, hey, if you like this TV show, go read this comic book. I think that's a really good way for DC to get around that.
That's what Marvel should
I
have
honestly
done
just
this
wish
whole
they
time.
Would tell of what. Platforms it's going to be on, like everything. Where they're going to release the apps. No, that's not true because a lot of smart TVs don't have certain apps. Like
I
certain
think they've
companies.
Already said it's going to be like it's going to be like
and like Roku and them have like specific things they do and don't do.
I know they've said it's going to be Android and Apple friendly for the mobile.
Yeah, I'm sure for phones it'll be on everything.
As far as like whether it be Apple TV, Roku, or
I bet
Amazon
it'll be on
Prime.
Like, I bet it'll be on Xbox. And
I imagine
PlayStation
4 or Xbox get it.
I imagine
it won't be in it won't be in my home so.
If it doesn't hit the Apple TV, because
a
lot of
year?
People don't that's really like using that
that's
device.
That's pretty low.
I imagine it'll definitely be
I didn't say it was expensive.
But what if all the shows that you like?
She was
I watch them in real time.
What's going on over there, Gabe?
But you won't get to see them because they're exclusive.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I will. I promise.
No, he's a criminal.
What? I have no idea what we're talking about.
Just roll it.
Derby things.
Derbies.
Anything else before we get to the pop culture classic?
More racism. See.
Children are whining about lunch.
Avengers, Comic Gates, Strangers in Paradise. Oh, Strangers in Paradise, Pocketbook number 4. I'm almost done with it. It's really, really good. It continues to be good.
Do you think we're gonna get a Captain Marvel trailer before we get a fucking Infinity Wars trailer? Because
yes.
I hear everybody talking about Infinity War, not many people talking
I'm
about Captain Marvel.
I'm surprised. So obviously this is like going to come out way after the fact.
Right.
But they did the Entertainment Weekly cover, and I fully expected the trailer to come out like that
Me
Friday.
Too. Me
and
too.
It just didn't. And
but
I,
they did release some behind-the-scenes shots. Okay. Behind-the-scenes shots.
I'm going to kill my child.
You're fine.
She's right. Annoying to me.
It's okay. So they show. So cool. In the one shot, they definitely show... God damn it, I'm forgetting names now.
Jude Law.
Stoner.
Yes, they show him. They show the bad guy from the first Guardians movie. What the fuck was his name?
Stoner.
Yes. They show him.
And some more Kree.
And they show the black guy that was working for Ronan.
And
the
Skrulls, too. What?
I thought Ronan was dead.
Well, this is a prequel, sir.
It's a prequel.
Oh.
This happens before everything
even
else.
One of the shots even shows Samuel L. Jackson's character with both
de-aged.
Eyes.
De-aged.
With both eyes.
Stoner.
De-aged or unaged?
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Before he merged with Forrest Whitaker.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Wow.
You haven't even seen my final form.
Ha. I like it.
Oh, no. I'm surprised we haven't seen a trailer yet. By the time this episode comes out, I'm
well, because usually, I'm like, sure fucking Justice League put out a trailer a year before the fucking movie that's came out. Yeah,
they're fucking desperate to put seats and butts in seats, man.
Seats and butts?
Seats and asses. Seats and asses.
You need a seat in your ass? Go talk to DC.
Like, I mean, they are desperate. Like, you can tell. True. You can tell with their film universe, they are really, really struggling, so... But Shazam looks fucking good. Yeah. Shazam looks really good.
Aquaman looks.
I just don't get it. Like, are they separating their entity that much? It's like you're killing it in comics. You're killing it in TV. You just keep fucking up the movie thing.
Like,
and so, I bet they lose a lot. I bet they lose a lot of money too because of that.
They lose money.
They lost money on Justice League,
but it wasn't. I'm not saying it was not a ton.
Domestically, I think they lost money, but I think internationally,
overall, once they put in the advertising money, they lost money.
Wow, that sucks.
It's fucking crazy.
Well, maybe they need to release their trailer less than a fucking year ahead of time.
I agree. I agree.
Shit's playing like every YouTube video I watch for like a year and a half. I'm like, I get it. Fucking Justice League is coming out in 19,000 months. Like, no one gives a fuck anymore.
Aren't they also working on two different Joker movies right now? Yes. Like, they're just fucking up.
They just don't know what they want to do with it.
You
like,
fucking up, DC. So,
here's what it is. Paul Feige says, this is the Marvel Universe. This is what we're doing. From here to here, this is what we're doing. From here to here, this is what we're doing. And he's fucking in charge of the entire thing. And he says, don't step out of line. You step out of line, you do something that doesn't fit into what we're doing, and you're fucking fired. That's why the dude that made Scott Pilgrim got fired from Ant-Man, is because he wasn't making the movie that the one vision of the Marvel Cinematic Universe was saying. He said, make this movie. If you don't want to make this movie, get the fuck out. And there is nobody at DC that's saying, I am the voice of reason at DC, and from beginning to end, this is the shit we're doing.
I feel like eventually Disney's just going to buy them both and butt-fuck them together.
And we'll find
you make the comics good. You make the comics for both.
You make the comic for both.
You'll get that old amalgam.
No, you'll get the actual Marvel versus DC. You remember those in the 90s when both companies were just so desperate for sales that they threw out Marvel versus DC and DC versus Marvel?
That's why I think that the comics on the Marvel side aren't doing as well as they'd hoped. I don't know what the numbers look like.
Is at DC.
Well, but they're saying, fuck it. We're making billions of dollars on our movies. Fuck, who cares? They're not going to go out of business, and they're not going to stop printing comic books because the comic books aren't working.
If that's legitimate,
they're not going.
That's a terrible thing to do because the movies don't have the same longevity.
I agree with you. I agree.
There's an end date to that where people are going to be like, stop with the fucking
dance. Not this guy. Not me.
Dude, it's close.
Give me all the Marvels. That's what I want.
There's a lot of people that are getting burnt out on the Marvel movies. Like, and I think after the second Infinity War movie.
I don't know. The money doesn't support that.
The money doesn't support that, but people support that. Like, people are – it's like Transformers. Like, Transformers has really solid sales across the board, but people are getting less and less interested in going to see the next one.
But that doesn't correlate. That doesn't make – if ticket prices don't change
– which they do.
Not very often.
They have been going up steadily over years.
Over years. But
and
I'm just saying –
we are talking about years. I mean, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is 10 years
old. You're talking about entirely different franchises inside of Marvel.
Black Panther
came out as a huge success, but it's own thing also.
Right.
Whereas, like, Ant-Man, not a huge success. Like,
I
or
think
Doctor
it made a lot of money.
It made
it was
a lot,
success,
but it's
not like Black Panther level.
Right, I agree.
Same with Doctor Strange. Same with the –
but I don't think the amount of people –
Doctor Strange is arguably the best movie they made so far.
What?
Thor, it's arguably.
It's one of my least favorite.
Doctor Strange or Thor Ragnarok?
What? Yeah, it's one of my least favorite.
You're an idiot. Doctor Strange or Thor Ragnarok are like my
Thor
two
is
favorite.
Amazing. Black Panther was good.
Seriously.
Don't touch anything.
I mean, you listed like my top three.
It's my birthday.
But
anything else?
Incredible how wrong you can be sometimes.
In preparation to talk to, oh shit, his name went right out.
Which
of my
one?
Head.
Stoner.
Not John Lyman. The guy that draws Chew. What the fuck is his name?
I got terrible names. I love that comic.
Oh my god! It is either. I can't.
Farmhand,
mostly because I
yeah,
don't,
he does farmhand.
I can remember all the shit they do. I just remember their names of the people.
Anyway, in preparation,
Rob
Guillory.
Rob,
that's it.
Yeah.
In preparation to talk to him at San Diego Comic Con, I had checked out the books, the last three volumes of Chew to reread.
Yeah.
okay, fucking amazing books, but I just wanted to refresh my memory. And in my mind, I was thinking, on the drive to San Diego, I'm going to have all this time. I'm going to read these two books, and then I'm going to go
talk. I knew that was not going to happen. So, in fucking 2 hours, in 1.5 hour drive, you're asleep like that.
Instantaneously. I always fall asleep in the car. And then when I was awake, I was just bullshitting with Juan because it was fun. So I didn't read it at all. And then when I got home, I was like, well, I still have these three volumes of Chew checked out from the library.
Yeah.
And so I recently reread them, and it was awesome. Like, so if you haven't read Chew, do yourself a favor.
It's a very fucking good
book. Read those books. It's funny. It's interesting. And it's like
Farmhand So Far is also a very good book.
And like Chew is not just funny. It's moving. Like there's moments that are like really sad, and you become really attached to characters. My friend Denise, who works at the library, she was telling me that when the spoiler alert from a comic that came out fucking 5 years ago, when the sister dies, when his sister dies, she was so upset that she never finished the series. So she hasn't finished, like, I think the last like five volumes of the book, which are fucking amazing. So, but yeah, go check out Chew. Rob Guillory is awesome. Guillory is awesome. He's been on the show a couple times. Really dig him. Can't wait to talk to him again. Minus
a few keys, too. It's a pretty affordable comic if you want to buy them all.
Yeah. Death of Pollo and Issue 1 are the big ones. Yeah. So.
Cool.
That's it.
But even not that big, like $200.
Hi, I'm Sebastian Kalichik, the creator of Kinsei.
Hi, I'm Kit Steinkellner, the writer of Kinsei.
I'm Emma Steinkellner, the illustrator of Kinsei. And you're listening to
Outside the Llama. We nailed it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. On the line, we have DJ Bryant, the writer and artist of Unreal City that just recently came out on Fantagraphics. I was at San Diego Comic-Con and stumbled across the Fantagraphics booth, and DJ just happened to be sitting there selling his book at the time, which piqued my interest because I love these kind of like weird indie books that Juan makes fun of me for loving. So I picked it up. He gave it a signature and I said, hey, you should come on the show sometime. And he actually came on the show sometime. So DJ, welcome to the show. How are you doing this morning, man?
Hey, doing great. Appreciate you having me on.
Right on. So read the book. It is amazing. Like it's fascinating. The art style is that kind of like blocky black, like, you know, really heavy line work sort of thing that I think independent comic books are like largely known for, but there's so much to this book about time and relationships and just strangeness, like high strangeness. Tell me a little bit just about the origin of like this anthology.
So there's five stories in there, and the first story that I drew actually is the second story that appears, Evelyn Dalton Hoyt. And when I began Evelyn, I didn't really realize that I was, at the end of the day, going to have a book on my hands. But as it went along, they just became sort of connections between these stories. And over time, I realized that I was sort of developing a sort of body of work of material that all sort of seemed to come together. And I think it took 7 years all told for all of these stories to come together and become a book.
So tell me a little bit about like your writing process. There's a lot of like fluidity of time and just like hints at like sexual repression and like sexual frustration, and like just all these like big concepts. Like, tell me a little bit about the writing process.
I write sort of the exact opposite of the way that I draw. The way that I draw is very careful and very precise, and it takes a long, long time. When I write, usually I'm writing really fast. Sort of, I'll write in drafts, but my approach to writing is to write as fast as I possibly can, so that I'm not censoring, and almost sort of stream of consciousness, getting it down. and I usually end up with something. I think that's where sort of the dreamlike quality of the writing comes, is that it comes from a sort of stream of consciousness sort of thing, and sometimes it's very abstract. So part of the fun for me is to take this bit of writing that is sort of abstract and then turn it into something very precise and very measured. Yeah, each story is a little different, so that process might change a little bit. I think in each story usually started with something that I had written. What I'll do is I'll sort of write stuff in a notebook. And so usually it would have started with something that I'd written and forgotten about to some extent, not in each case, but in most cases, and then going back to it, reading it as if I'd read it for the first time, be like, oh, okay, that seems interesting, and sort of taking that from there and building it from there. In terms of, you know, the structure, the playing with time and that kind of thing, that's just sort of a thing that's interested me kind of. I don't know. I think it just sort of has to do with my outlook on time. Seems to be a little elliptical. You wake up in the morning, you know, sun slowly comes up, and, you know, then it slowly comes down. You go to sleep, and you get up, and you sort of repeat a cycle again and again. And everywhere you look, things seem to run in a cycle. I think that's a little bit where that comes from.
Nice. When you're... You know, you talk about how precise your art is, and that it took you, you know, 7 years to put together the book. You know, when you're approaching a blank page, is there like a lot of layout and sketching before you like really get into like this high detail, like, you know, very sharp contrast, black and white kind of artistic style?
Not every cartoonist will do it this way, but I do start with a script. So what I'll do, I'll write my story and have a script where it doesn't have like panel breakdowns or anything like that. But all my dialogue will be there and the plot will pretty much be there. Description of what's happening and everything. And I like having a script as a sort of blueprint, because I know that when I get to the drawing side, I'm going to be in for the long haul. It's going to take me a while. So it sort of feels good to have something there where it's like, okay, I have a story that I can believe in. I think that if I draw this thing, if I take the time, I'm going to end up with something pretty cool when all is said and done. So I start with that script. And then what I'll do is I'll sort of go through like paragraph by paragraph. And then I'll figure out sort of my panel breakdown as I'm drawing it.
There's really almost no color in this book except for the Yellow Knife retrospective and then like a splash of color in one of the other stories. Like, what inspired like you to make the Yellow Knife retrospective like this full color piece in a sea of black and white?
Yeah, the Yellow Knife, strangely enough, even though it, like stylistically it's the most completely different, it was the first story I did when I realized I was going to be doing a book of a collection of stories. So I consciously wanted to do something that was tonally different. I wanted like a different kind of beat. And one of the influences, strangely enough, was Spider-Ham. I was like, I remember when I was a kid, my maternal grandfather had given me a Spider-Man comic, and the first part of it was like John Byrne and Chris Claremont Spider-Man, and it was like really sort of dark and serious. And then in the back, you had Spider-Ham, and it was this like comical, like light version. And I always really loved that dichotomy. They even had like in the front little corner, like the serious, you know, John Romita Spider-Man, and then like the little cartoony Spider-Ham. So I loved seeing those two things side by side. And even like cartooning itself seems to have this like dichotomy of serious, and then you've got your, you know, funny animal thing. But obviously, like Klaus is a huge influence on me, and that was the thing Klaus, I always loved about Klaus, the way he would use different styles. So I thought it would be, even though Yellowknife deals with a lot of the same themes of the rest of the story, but it's almost, after everything that's like so heavy, it's almost like this lighter take on it. Like a minute to sort of breathe and have a lighter moment before you get back into the heavy again. Even though there's a bit of heavy in Yellowknife too. Right. I don't let you off the hook all the way.
I was going to say it looks cartoony, but it deals with like really pretty serious ideas too, like about time and sexuality and the reality of relationships and stuff. And it's, you're like,
sure,
oh,
yeah,
you got that serious wrapped up in this very cartoony presentation.
Sure, yeah, you got that like moment where he's like, none of this is real. And he's like in a madhouse, like being dragged away. So like, you're like, is he crazy? Like, are we all just insane? Like, it's still got the heavy in there, but you're almost also sort of able to have, it was nice to be able to sort of have fun with it too. Almost like poke fun at it. Like there's a visuals that you can get away with in a super cartoony thing that you couldn't otherwise, where I've got him in like a psychiatrist's office, they're getting dragged into the funny farm. Those visuals, you could still do that in a serious comic, but you can do it. You can get a little bit more simple with your imagery or your symbols or something in a cartoon that you couldn't get away with otherwise. And but the other thing too is the way it follows, Emordana, the way those that has splashes of color. Cause even though you don't see a lot of color, in Emordana, color is like an important theme, and it ends in that abstract like splash of color, and it's usually like color sort of splattered on darkness. So that was the other thing I thought would be really neat, is that you come out of this sort of dark tunnel into this like color cartoon world for a minute before going it back into black and white. So it is meant to be part of the experience that you're having as you read the book.
So your stories tend to leave a lot more questions than answers. Like you definitely leave a lot of space for personal interpretation. Like, is that something that's intentional, or like when you write the story and finish it up, you think to yourself, yeah, this totally makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, the stories make sense to me, but they are also, like, mysteries. Like, I'm definitely, like, leaving space for the reader. I think it just kind of has to do with, like, the way that, I don't know, the way things sort of seem to me. I find that the things that are really interesting to me, or things that have a mystery, like you can have something that's weird or something that is ambiguous, but for me, I get excited if the answer to the thing is not just one answer, but it could be many answers or many layers. So it's usually that the answers are just a bit complicated to really like to that it wouldn't do justice, that you're sort of leaving something out if you are simply, you're making a broad statement. So ambiguity can kind of helps to address the complexity of the thing sometimes. You know, like the ending of Evelyn is very ambiguous. Like I didn't feel like, I don't think I would feel very satisfied by a story where you are seeing like Henry like killing Evelyn or something, or it wouldn't feel right to me. That was the ending that felt the most right and felt the most real. Of that was, you know, that was about like a broken marriage in it, and there's a, if a relationship falls apart, there's a certain ambiguity to that loss. So there's a meaning in that. If there's a mystery or something that you understand that it's not easy to explain, then that's part of the truth of it, if that makes any sense.
It does. You know, it's interesting because the ambiguity actually makes it feel very personal. You know, there's so much in the book that maybe I don't latch on to the first reading with like full comprehension, but it makes me feel like you're putting like yourself onto this page, like these different ideas and feelings and emotions that maybe you're working through. And I don't necessarily have to fully understand it to enjoy it, because I'm seeing just it sounds kind of corny to say, like, I feel like I'm seeing your therapy sessions on the page, kind of.
to a degree, for sure. Yeah.
I mean,
there's definitely, go on.
Oh, no, it makes it really like I get a glimpse into what you're thinking, as opposed to just you telling a story from beginning to end. It's more about the emotions and the ideas than it is about this is the story from beginning to end. Like, I really, really like that. It's something that you can't get away with in a normal, like, quote unquote, normal comic book, you know?
Yeah. Well, the other thing, though, too, is that you had said is, like, having a space for the reader to exist in, to answer those questions. But I also think of that when I'm doing a story, I am almost creating a space for the reader. There are definitely stories where if you get a chance to read them again, I think you're going to pick up so many more things that you didn't see the first time. And you know, when I'm drawing these things... And these things are very considered and very, you know, you can see that a lot of time is going into the creation of that world. So I want you to feel that that's a world you can inhabit, even if you don't know the answers, like, there are things there to consider and things in that world for you to appreciate. It's one of the nice things about doing detail work, because it's almost like, hey, if you got the time, you know, you can smell the roses here in this story, because there are some things to enjoy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, everything about the book made me want to turn around and reread it. Like, just I read it, you know, I read it fairly quickly because I was, you know, trying to get it into my brain before talking to you, because I hadn't had a chance to sit down and read really anything since San Diego. I was like, okay, I'm going to get through it. This is awesome. I'm loving this. I think I'm going to read it again today. You know, like, it was just so,
right on.
Because there was so much to it that I was like, I know I'm missing stuff. Like, I know that there's things that I'm just not seeing or just not putting quite into my brain. And I just want to go back and do it again and feel what I pick up like the second time. And I mean, it's exactly what you said. There's that space for the reader to come and inhabit like your creation. And it's really, really awesome. Like, I can't get over how much I like it right now.
That's awesome. Yeah, one of the cool responses... Oh, go on.
Oh, I want to hear what you have to say about the responses, and then I'll ask my next question.
Okay, yeah. One of the cool responses is, like, it does seem to be something... I've heard people, like, saying, like, I felt compelled to read the next page, or... Like, it seems to be something that you can read through pretty quickly. Like, there's some work that seem like, even in old Marvel comics sometimes, with all these, like, blocks of text, and it can be hard to get through or something. So I wanted something that was very readable, that you could read quickly, but also, like, that you can read again and again and again and come back to and get more out of it. So that's cool. I don't know.
Mission accomplished.
It sounds like my plan worked.
Nice.
If it was a plan. But go on.
So tell me a little bit about how you got involved with Fantagraphics and they ended up publishing your book.
Yeah, like the thing with Fantagraphics was crazy, because, you know, in the beginning I was very, very intimidated by Fantagraphics. You know, many of my favorite artists were published through them. And, you know, Fantagraphics was almost, to me, like the most beautiful girl in the room. Like, there's no way I can talk to them. They won't have anything to do with me. But I had put together a little comic called Steel Charge Horse Cap, And I sold it in like the local comic shop, just like my own little zine kind of thing. And one of the editors at Fantagraphics, Eric Reynolds, had picked it up. And the girl that worked there told me, and she's like, yeah, Eric Reynolds picked this up and really seemed to dig it. And so that emboldened me to talk to him. And I went up to him and I was like, yeah, I heard you like read the comic. He was like, yeah, man, I really dug that thing. You know, if you got more work, like show me. He would pick me out of conventions and stuff. I used to wear this very distinct looking like brown jacket. And so he'd point me out from a crowd and be like, hey, you, man, come on over. Like, I dig your stuff, man. I'd like to see more of your stuff. So he was like really proactive in getting me on board. When I had drawn Evelyn, I was actually drawing it for someone else. They weren't paying me or anything, but it initially appeared in MoM, in Fantagraphics and MoM, but I was drawing for someone else and it's like blown a deadline on it because I was taking so long. And Eric saw it and is like, well, I'm going to publish that. Like, he's like, that looks super cool. I'm going to publish that. And I thought that thing might be a bit too explicit for MoM. I didn't think that would be something they would publish, but he liked it and they did. So that's sort of how that began.
That's awesome. Basically, you went to prom with no date and the prettiest girl in the room started hitting on you. That's awesome.
It was totally like that. I don't think I would have had the ball. I mean, of course, that was like my goal, is to do stuff with them, but I was too intimidated. So the fact that they liked my work, I lucked out there.
it's easy to like, and it fits into that, like, that Fantagraphics niche, like, very, very well. You know, there's so many books that they put out that have that, you know, textural, deep, you know, art style and like this amazing like writing, and this fits into that. You know, you sir should have the balls to push that out there, because this is an amazing book. Like, I really, really dig it. I'm glad I picked it up to be awesome, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you. it's really cool. It's really great. Like, those things take a lot of time, you know, they take a lot of effort. And so it's really rewarding when that thing finally goes out to the world and, people seem to enjoy it.
Right. In wrapping up, DJ, tell us, how like people can find you online, you know, if you have a Twitter presence or whatever, and then how they can pick up a copy of your book.
I haven't taken the Twitter plunge yet. I just, a lot of people talk about Twitter like they've opened up like Pandora's box in their lives and they'll never get back to normalcy. But still, it does, I don't know, seems to be one of those things people do. But I am online. I do have a Tumblr and a blog. Usually if you just Google like DJ Bryant Comics, you'll see my Tumblr will come up, my blog will come up. So you can catch me on there. Definitely, you can order Unreal City just online pretty easily. Usually best if you get it straight from the publisher. I would say that's probably the best way. Get it straight from Fantagraphics. They're awesome.
They are awesome, and your book is great, man. DJ, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate your time. Everybody, if you're into that kind of independent, like really heavy, dark, interesting, thought-provoking book, go pick up a copy of Unreal City from Fantagraphics. I assure you it is worth your time. It's a great book, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Amanda Donahue, illustrator for the new graphic novel, The Margins.
And I'm David Acampo. I'm one of the co-writers of The Margins. And you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
What did I do stupid this time?
I don't even know if you did do that. You were just like, I got one final question. And I was like, how do you find the clitoris?
Oh man. Now I wish I would have asked that question. That's an amazing question.
Side note.
She would have been very upset with me, though.
We're recording
again. Oh, okay.
Only because we have 30 minutes or so to finish this first episode. Yeah, we gotta go quick.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I can be. It depends on how long you want the next episode to be.
All right. Because we got to be done. Well, yeah. Anyways, so let's move on. So we were on Jessica Jones, season 2.
Were we?
Yeah.
Okay.
What came after Punisher?
Jessica Jones, season 2.
Is that what came after
Punisher? It went Jessica Jones, then Luke Cage, then...
I think technically it went... No, you're right.
No, he's right. You're right.
Defenders you're right. Before Punisher.
You're right. Point.
You're right, motherfucker. You're right.
You're right. You're right. Fucking Tim's got all the energy now. He's been over there napping.
I know, right?
Which I feel pretty good now. Napping and farting. Is that farting in my sleep? He's a little stinky over there.
That's fine. I probably farted in my sleep a few times.
Toil?
Napping and farting. Shit.
Those McDoubles I had last night for dinner. Yeah.
Ooh. Man, I had those glazed chicken strips. Mistakes were made.
Wait, what?
Glazed chicken
strips? Yeah, they have like these barbecue glazed chicken strips at McDonald's.
Oh, for some reason I thought you meant like a glazed donut. Like, oh, took no, a chicken strip, glazed the bitch.
It's like that meme I posted of the lady dunking her chicken strip in fucking Coke.
So
for
the
some
only
reason.
Thing I could think of is maybe the chicken strip was too hot.
Or too salty.
I feel like those chicken strips were definitely a cure for constipation.
She's trying to get the salt off, but then she was like, now my Diet Pepsi's all salty. I can't win.
So much semen.
What if it was like the Mentos thing?
Jesus.
What are you... What?
I'm not letting him repeat that.
Something about cum. There's a lot of cum in that joke.
And Jessica Jones?
That was a weird segue.
Very little cum in that joke. I didn't see any.
She has a lot of sex in her
There's
shows.
A bathroom scene that's a little graphic.
You're a freak. Yeah. Get out of me. Like, so, okay. So,
well, you are a freak. Yeah.
So, this
is... believe how many times I've heard that.
And that was just last night.
I had a weird technical sex question.
That was at his place.
No. Right?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, okay. Let's back up. Let's back up before I ask my technical sex question.
So I was like, the only person you remember be fucking a game house.
We go into 7-Eleven on the way home from McDonald's last night, right? And the 7-Eleven guy, just like this totally clearly methed out dude, goes, got any fun plans for tonight? I was like, yeah, we're going to go home, watch the Big Lebowski, drink some booze, get super high. And, you know, yeah. Whatever. He's all, oh, it sounds like a lot of fun. And I look at Tim and I go, and then I'm going to molest you later. And the dude's face was like, what the fuck is going on right now? It was amazing.
Should I call the cops?
I think that fat dude's going to rape that skinny dude.
Why are you going to rape him?
Oh, man. So, Jessica Jones, let's talk about it. I have a very...
specific set of skills?
Specific sex question about Jessica Jones. So in the first season of Jessica Jones, like the best sex she could have was with Luke Cage.
Right.
Because they're both super powered and they can't hurt each other when they're having sex, right? So does she just have better control of her superpower? Like how does she not crush
it's like the
guys
Superman
on
thing.
Accident?
You know?
Like, it's just, it's a weird thought. Like, shouldn't she only be able to have sex with superpowered people without hurting them?
There's, like, some back alley superhero book that exists in Marvel and DC where they're just like, how do you fuck normal people without killing them? Yeah, like, insights from Spider-Man and shit in there.
I mean, does she even enjoy sex with regular non-humans?
Doesn't seem like it.
No, I mean,
it seems like it.
She's got to... I imagine that her vagina is also very strong.
That's,
I mean,
that's what I was thinking.
Where is the super clitoris?
It's even more sneaky than the regular clitoris.
I don't find it that sneaky. I don't know what you guys' problem is.
I think we might have an episode titled that.
Where is the superhero clitoris?
I've been looking for it for years. It's like a goddamn expedition in the Alps.
A don't know what kind of women you're with, but
hey, we all women need love, Gabe.
I know,
even but, Alpy yeah. women. All right, even Alpy men.
Yeah, well, I am a very Alpy man.
So much hair down there.
She can't use a regular.
She's brushing door. Around. Part like,
oh. off. She's like smacking her vagina with a sledgehammer.
Wow.
She's like, I feel nothing.
I don't want to say it's nothing, but that's probably somewhere on the internet.
This is true. So seriously, getting away from the stupid.
I said it. It's a thing now.
Getting away from the stupid 13-year-old boy sex jokes. What did you guys think of the show itself?
So I saw this a long time ago. I think before anybody else did. I had commented at that time that I thought season 2 should have been season 1, and season 1 should have been season 2, because you get way more backstory in season 2 about what happened to her mom, obviously. You know, you get it. That seemed way more season 1 than it did season 2 to me.
So
I think not knowing that her mom was alive impacted the character that she was in season 1, though, so that would have been a little weird. But I didn't actually like season 2 until her mom was brought on the show. Hmm. I just felt like the characters were doing illogical things, like, left and right. Like, it just made no sense to me. It's like, Jessica Jones doesn't like dealing with people and hates people, and this guy comes in and basically offers her the sweetest job ever, doing exactly what she's doing, and gets and he'll deal with the people side of things. She's like, nah.
But she's the boss, I think, is what the problem was. I don't think she wants to be told what to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I mean, every decision felt like that to me. Like the friend going to the dude who used to molest her, making the guy who's barely stable, ex-drug addict, film it in the closet. It's just nothing made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. It is basically a comedy of bad life choices.
Yeah.
Like the whole season is.
But I thought whoever played her mom did a phenomenal job. That's when the show picked up for me.
So I do love, like, I love the character development across the board. Like, it definitely builds all the secondary characters.
Hey, turn your fucking phone off.
And Jessica Jones.
Or down at least.
Yeah.
Tick, tick, tick.
Like, we're all farting around on our phones. Just no one can hear it except for yours.
Oh, man, I just woke up.
For the fourth silent. Time this
Tim's
morning.
Plugged into a Bluetooth speaker.
So, I like the plot line with her mom, but the actress that plays her mom, her angry face, I cannot take seriously. Like, she, when she's angry, when she goes into, like, her rage state, the face that she puts on, I'm like, she's not really angry. She's pretending to be angry. Like, it was the weirdest disconnect with the actress that I've yeah. It's just something that hardly ever happens to me when I'm watching like shows or movies, that it was like really disconcerting where she gets super mad. I was like, that's her pretending to be upset. Like, oh shit, she's an act. Oh damn it.
So I kind of thought that her weirdness just all around, because she's awkward,
she is very awkward,
was because she was not out very much, you know what I mean? She doesn't have a lot of interaction with anybody, and so I just kind of figured that kind of boiled
that kind of
into
makes sense.
All
she
of
was
that
a test subject,
so. Yeah.
And also, her face is not her face. Like,
correct.
You know, maybe she's just not used to making her face make facial expressions.
Took her face off.
Yeah.
And Luke Cage. Well, no.
Johnny Cage?
Johnny Cage.
I've mentioned all the Cages besides Nicholas.
Cage and John Travolta.
Yeah. That would have been sweet if Jessica Jones just somehow veered into Face Off. Took her face off.
I need your face.
Oh man! So like,
show me where the clitoris is.
Oh man! Like overall, I actually really like this season, and I like the order that the seasons are in, because there's so much about her character that doesn't make sense if you don't know the Purple Man story. And there's so much about the second season that doesn't, like, connect, like, why she's so intent on the search if you don't know the story that happened before it. Like, I understand,
I don't know,
exactly what
to
you're saying.
To me, it felt way
it
more like
really
an origin
good.
Story.
It is. It is the origin yeah. story.
Which this is a
it's
weird
place. Just told
place.
A little bit reverse. The right. only thing I didn't like about the first season of Jessica Jones is that they blew probably the most powerful bad guy on of any of the series
and
in the first season of, like, the least powerful character show.
It's weird because David Tennant is a guy who you can carry through you know, different seasons, and everybody fucking loves David Tennant, Kilgrave, no matter what he
Kilgrave
does.
Should have been a character I felt like the Defenders led up to, because it's like that is a massively powerful character, and it was just like she's the weakest of them all, just in based on like of background
skills too
and background, like she doesn't have this long history that the other characters do, and it's like here's just this badass, ridiculous bad guy, and then the Defenders are like fight. I've gone on this before, like. Crappy ninjas. Like, I still get it.
I agree with you that there should have been one staple through all of them that led to them fighting.
And he would have made sense. He could have been behind the scenes manipulating everything.
What did you guys think of all the David Mack art?
Amazing.
It's like
it was awesome because I saw it later than I normally do. Like I normally fucking as soon as it comes out, I'll binge all of them.
Right.
So I got to watch him post like, oh, did you watch this episode? My painting was in it, and you know what I mean. It was his fucking shit is beautiful. Right. It's really, really good.
I just thought it was a cool nod to like one of the creators, like on the comic, mm-hmm. to say, hey, like you've made all of this art that's like so distinctly Jessica Jones. Can you please put these paintings in our show? Like,
I think he helped really cool... with a little bit of the show too.
Yeah, it's just it's in general, it's just like a really cool idea, mm-hmm. and like the art is phenomenal. So. I mean, how could it not be? It's David Mack, right? Yeah.
I give it a thumbs middle.
Thumbs middle? I would
not
give
the art. The season.
I give this season a thumbs up. What do you guys think?
I'm a pretty thumbs middle on Jessica Jones in general.
Same.
So the first season for me of Jessica Jones was probably the best. The best season for me.
Y'all wrong. It's amazing.
I loved the first season. It was my favorite out of the four, with Luke Cage being right fucking there.
My thumb wants to be up, but it's just in between there in the middle.
It's a thumb tweener.
Right on the taint.
Yeah.
Thumb's three-quarter.
Yeah.
Thumb's chub.
Thumb's turgid.
I don't know. It was just real. That's the I don't know why, but it was fucking slow at the beginning to me for like the first half of the season.
But I think the first season was like that, and so I was kind of used to it at that point.
That's why I didn't much like love the first. And actually, like I said, I think all of the Marvel shows are doing that. Like to me, I think you would cut them all down in episode length or just make them more action-packed because they all feel like they built super
slow. I don't know. I feel like Daredevil has a lot of action in
and
it.
Well,
Daredevil
like
season
that.
Two does. I think they did Daredevil, in my opinion, and I think they did Daredevil the most right because the first season has a ton of build-up, which makes sense. And you still get to see cool shit because he's like has this different perspective because he's blind.
He's handicapped.
And then the second season is just badass shit all the way through, which was awesome. And there's still a ton of story in the second season.
I agree.
Right.
With the Punisher and whatnot.
I can't wait for Vincent D'Onofrio to come back.
Yeah.
Oh, I cannot fucking wait.
When does like the season kick out? Like when does Bushmaster like back kick him in the face? In Luke Cage season two,
so
right away it's pretty quick.
So
I think.
It's not
within the. It's like maybe the fourth episode or the third episode.
But that's like the first third.
No, he beats him up twice. He beats him up on the street where they record him, and then he beats his ass up on the bridge later.
But I'm talking about the one on the street. I don't think that's before the third episode.
I can't remember now.
Up until that point, he's literally like talking about football contracts and Nike contracts and going to parties.
Well, is that where we're up right now?
So yeah,
Jessica Jones.
Luke Cage
and then
season
Luke Cage.
Two.
Okay, cool.
So moving on to that. So I've only seen the first few episodes of Luke Cage season two. That's like all the further I got in
this
whole
thing. I hate so much.
Dude, I tried really hard. Ian asked my wife. I was like literally like, I've got to watch Jessica Jones now. Like I literally cannot watch other stuff. But I'm going to catch up on Luke Cage because it was my favorite of all the phase one of the Marvel Netflix series. Luke Cage was my favorite. And it just so far the episodes that I've seen have continued that. The music's amazing. The acting's amazing.
The music is always good in Luke Cage.
I'm not a giant fan of the villain so far. And like, I don't think
Bushmaster?
And I'm not,
he's
think
not really the main. Well, you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Right, right.
It's okay.
That's
you
why,
can talk
that's
about
why
it.
I was asking.
Like, I can't think of a villain that's going to top Cottonmouth. Like when he died, I think much in the same way when they killed off Kilgrave, I think it was a mistake. When they killed off Cottonmouth, I think it was a mistake. Like, I mean,
plus that actor kicks ass.
That's what I'm saying. Like his acting was so good, and his counterpoint to
they fucking elfed him.
Like his counterpoint to Luke Cage as a character was just so spot on that it's hard to overcome that deficiency. I think.
I'll tell you that it's hard for me to really, I have to really pay attention to Bushmaster when he's talking. It's very hard for me to understand. Maybe.
I completely understand them.
It's hard. It's because they have the accent, no, and they speak about. So fast. It's very hard for me. I have to really pay attention when he's talking.
You can turn on subtitles. That helps. Like, there are movies that I've watched where somebody's accent is super, super thick, and I'll just turn on the subtitles. Like, I got no shame.
Yeah, Snatch. Don't be led astray.
Like, there's just definitely moments where it's like, oh, shit, I have no idea what that right. is saying. I should definitely turn on the subtitles.
Well, if we're going to talk about it, we should talk about it, even though he hasn't seen it.
It's okay. Just talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think of the second wave, Luke Cage is still probably my Which one all in the second wave?
So far, just Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist. Yep. So, okay. Punisher, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist.
Okay, well, Punisher is my favorite show of the
second
wave.
And then I think Daredevil comes soon. Yeah. And then Punisher comes pretty close to right after it.
Again. Punisher, even though, again, I thought started a tad slow, I still think is my second favorite season of the Marvel shows of all of them. But Luke Cage is probably third, the second season. It was good. And Bushmaster, I think, ends up being a good bad guy for what he is, and he exits the show at a point where he should, and then you get the main villain, which is... What's her name?
I do not remember her name.
It's the sister, or is it the sister or the cousin of the Cottonmouth?
It's the cousin. So it's the girl's daughter. What the fuck is her name?
Well, she ends up being like the kind of the villain you didn't expect at right. the end. But her mom is kind of like the villain they're overcoming throughout the season.
She's the senator. Do you remember her name? I can't remember her name. But she's kind of the main villain throughout the whole season. For some reason, this underpowered fucking lady seems to just live through the whole fucking show. But her daughter ends up being the surprise kind of villain.
Okay.
The crazy thing for me
is I don't know enough about Luke Cage either. She's a real comic book villain, though, her daughter. But I don't know what her name is.
You know what? Almost all of the characters, you can find a comic equivalency in these TV shows I've found.
Somebody Google it.
Don't worry. John Stillwell.
Yeah.
God damn it. Those fucking idiots, they don't fucking know shit about comics.
Time for you to get
it.
Fucked up and correct us, John Stillwell.
But for me, the more fascinating part about season two is Luke Cage's journey.
Yeah, how he ends kind of taking over the nightclub.
Because he almost becomes a villain himself.
They hint it like he could go that way.
Yeah, it's him battling.
I mean, we all know he's not going to.
It's him battling like he doesn't want to. Like, how do you deal with thugs and gangsters who don't have really a rule? You know, how do you deal with that? And it's with violence and you know what he's doing. And that's him at the end is he takes up the chair. He takes up the mantle with they took down the Biggie Smalls thing behind him anymore, but
he very much becomes the Papa Midnight character right. in the Constantine movie, where he's like, I'm not gonna be out there stopping everything, I'm just gonna make sure everything's in check.
Right.
And now and I mean, run this bitch.
That's kinda how he is in the comic, where he's kind of a jerk. Like, I think they run Heroes for Hire out of a movie theater, if I remember right. But, like, he's kind of a jerk, like, and he just, I keep this in check, like, don't step out of line or Luke Cage shows up.
Right.
You know?
And that's the thing, like, he doesn't want to be out there checking everything, like, low crime and all that. He just doesn't want somebody bad to come in and take over, and that's, I think, why he kind of took up the mantle and stood up. But it definitely hints that he's going down a much darker path than any of the others.
He's like that in-between kind of hero like the Punisher is, you know? Mm-hmm. Looking at the release schedules, but see, it says that Daredevil comes out this year and Punisher comes out next right. year. So
the thing with Punisher is I know he's a good guy. In the sense that he does bad shit, but he's doing it for
he's an anti-hero. He
is
at best.
He is, but I'm saying like through the seasons, the only reason he's doing what he's doing is because of out of revenge. You know what I mean?
Because he's crazy.
It's and I'm sure he's crazy, but I mean Luke Cage is more. It hints more that he's actually could become a villain.
Okay.
And not
that
just...
would be, if they took it that way, it'd be super interesting.
Right. I don't know that
Where
they
Defender
will.
Defender season two is about Punisher replacing Luke Cage while they tried to defeat Luke Cage. I would watch the shit out of that.
It's just way more nuanced through his character through the season than with Punisher, when you know he's just going to be out there fucking killing people. Like, you know that's what the Punisher's doing. Luke Cage balances that.
It's like, Punisher will do what this no matter what.
Right,
and he won't do that. And that's very few things, but he won't do that.
But
he would do anything for love.
Yeah.
But you won't do that.
Punisher knows where the clitoris is.
Do you think?
It didn't seem like it. It's in a TV show.
So real quick, have any of us watched Iron Fist?
I've watched three episodes.
Okay, so maybe we wait for the next episode to actually talk about it.
Fucking Iron Fist coming out like the day before we do this.
I know. Like, as soon as somebody else was like, oh man, Iron Fist comes out on Friday, I was like, fuck, we are supposed to be doing our Marvel show on Sunday.
I found out last night.
Yeah.
You were like, oh, Iron Fist came out. I was like, really? Fuck, am I that out of the loop? Holy shit.
Yeah.
I will say that the four episodes that I've seen since season one came out, including the episode in Luke Cage, dramatically different from season one.
Yeah.
It was, I didn't read the whole article, but the headline was, it's in its sophomore year, it's got the biggest bump in Rotten Tomatoes out of anything in existence at this point. So it's getting really good reviews.
What I don't get about Netflix, though, is I've watched every superhero everything to some extent on Netflix, right? New superhero show comes out, Netflix doesn't send me an update. Of gay shows, I've watched only Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Every gay thing that comes out on Netflix, it's like, Doyle, we got new shows for you.
It just knows you. It knows your mark. It knows that you're part of that market.
It knows you're sensitive.
I know. Just because I like the Queer
Eye. I think it's because you watched all of Queer Guy in like
I did. One
well, this night. Guy fucking watched it's it in 24 show. Hours.
24 hours? He watched it in 10 hours.
Those gay guys get me.
Get you what?
Turgid.
Right, he's touching his dick.
In the heart. That's where it goes.
Oh, man.
You going to redesign my apartment first?
Wow.
I'll do whatever you want if you fix my apartment up. Oh man, so let's quickly touch on some of the other shows. Cloak and Dagger, I really dig. Like, it's a really cool show.
I still haven't seen it.
Again, started slow, but I liked it a lot.
I like it a lot. Yeah.
I'm actually not through with it, but it's very good.
I'm almost done. I think I have like two episodes of it left or something like that.
How much more is it after he gets rid of the cop that killed his brother?
Not much more.
I think that's what I saw last.
Okay. I think it's like maybe like three more episodes after that.
I'm four episodes into Cloak and Dagger.
And are you liking
it? I like it. It's just super fucking confusing.
The first couple episodes, you don't know what's going on.
I'm like, whose timeline am I in? Who am I talking to? What is going on? Like, it's so weird. Like,
their powers are strange, too. I mean, it's like a weird
show. It is a very odd
I don't even know what
set.
The powers are, except for he can kind of teleport. Like,
oh, no, he can teleport.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, but he doesn't know how to yet. He so just kind of learning. Appears.
So one of my friends, the first time she goes into him, like, disappears into him, one of my friends Facebook messaged me, and she's like, is she, like, I haven't watched anymore, but is she, like, dead? Like, what happened there? I was like, no, that's their ability. Like, she can go in him, and then he can teleport her to somewhere else, and, like.
That show takes a weird turn, too, because at first you're like, this is really weird. There's no real reason for these powers to exist. Like, it's really a normal show, and then there's, like, fucking zombies. I'm like, this show gets weird.
But the comic itself was like that. It was like, it's a 70s weird.
Does it explain
comic.
The power? Would the power source?
Yes. Yeah. It explains everything.
I saw the tanker explode and shit, but I didn't know, like, what the fuck came about.
It's kind of crazy. Like, it's definitely worth continuing watching.
Very bizarre.
It's good. So, the two that are probably the bigger ones that I haven't seen at all is Legion and
still can't.
Runaways.
Legion was also very confusing.
I haven't seen Legion besides the first few episodes where I was confused. Runaways, I just stopped watching for some reason, but
it's
I got
not,
like seven episodes
great.
In.
Runaways was not, but you sucked, the first season ends and you still don't know what the fuck's going on. And then they add this giant hole that is supposed to have something in it that you also don't know what it is.
I also
it's
think
super
I'm not
fucking weird.
I also think I'm not its market. Like, it's definitely like a teeny.
It does seem
it just wasn't done right. It's like it.
It could have been so much more.
You look at Stranger Things and you look at that, and like that's the comparison to me. Like, this is a little kids get put in a crazy situation, and it could be awesome. Stranger Things, it could be not awesome, like Runaways.
Right.
Like
I
forced myself to keep watching because I was like, oh, this is going to get good at some point.
Like, I haven't seen any of Legion, but I only watched like 1.5 episodes of Runaways before I was like, eh.
I think I saw like 7 episodes. I just never got into
it. I watched the whole thing.
What else?
I watched
was
the whole
there?
Thing.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So you watched that
is amazing.
You love that
I watch,
I'm fucking
I love
seasons behind
Agents
on
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What's so, crazy? So here's the thing. It's slow.
Yeah.
In the first couple of few seasons, because it's trying to find where it fits, because it goes from being focused on one thing, and then all of a sudden it's a monster of the week kind of show, and then all of a sudden you jump back to focusing on the Inhumans, because there was going to be a movie, so there was a big push for Inhumans, and then
there was a movie. It just fucking sucks.
No, that was it was a TV show.
Oh,
it was going to be a theatrical
movie.
It was in the lineup.
I thought
Inhumans
was a better show than Runaways, and that's saying a lot. I watched Inhumans. Inhumans. I could tell exactly why Inhumans did not work out. Like, I was not thrilled about it. But
it was terrible. That's why.
But every episode, at least, there's like a big fucking dog. It's kind of cool. Like, something happened where I was like, yeah, it's kind of cool. But
that
Runaways,
was...
I was like, there were 7 episodes where I was like, nothing cool is happening.
It was supposed to be a feature, though. The Inhumans was in the schedule to be a movie, and then they took it off. And so
because Humans used to be like phase 4, I think.
Yeah,
because it was
going
to be their version of the X-Men.
You were correct.
Stories.
Yeah. Yep. But so I think margins. I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. took a while to figure out what it was, but it's the one show aside from I've heard Cloak and Dagger does this really well too. It's the one show that bleeds into everything else fucking beautifully.
Right.
It's brought on the Kree. It's brought on Asgardians. It's brought on a bunch of different features. They talk about what was going on with Hydra and Civil War.
It's the one show.
Like, it's the one show that does fucking the Marvel Universe justice. And since Ghost Rider came on, Gabriel Luna, fucking amazing. They have picked up that show from then forward. It's been awesome.
See, I want to watch it because I love Ghost Rider, but it's just like I got so long before I get to Ghost Rider that I don't know if I can get it.
What's weird about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is every time I sit down to watch it, I end up watching like 9 episodes of it. Like, I really, really like the show, but I'll like just stop watching it for a while, and then I'll be like, oh, I'll sit down and watch it for a little bit. And I watch like 9 or 10 episodes of it. Like, get through like a whole season. Then I'm like, oh man, I can't wait for the next one. I'm going to watch wrestling. And then I don't watch it again for like another year and a half.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. So season 3, I think, ends the Inhumans, I think, if I remember right. But I'm telling you, Ghost Rider to present, and then the next one is going to be the final season. It's supposedly. It's been fucking balls to the walls, and it's been really good. It's been really good.
You think the next season's going to have the snapping in it?
I don't know. That's the thing. So it should be happening now. This season should be happening now. But they pushed it off past Infinity War. And so I'm assuming that it's going to touch base on some of the things that happen. And you kind of, because they're one show that doesn't gloss over that shit. It's not just like, oh, hey, we're cool, back to normal.
You're in the same universe.
Right. So it's the one show that does that shit really good. So I assume that it will.
Executives are going to love the fact that, oh, we can kill half the cast for the show and still make the show. We don't have to pay these money? Yeah, let's do that.
I don't want
to
say nothing, but they did that already.
we can kill off half of the half we already killed?
It's amazing.
We bring it down to just Phil Coulson?
I did not understand what they were doing with this character. That's probably one of the reasons I stopped watching the show.
I'm telling you, I think the first couple of seasons are really about them finding what the show is going to be. And then it really ramps up.
How much money do you have to be able to say, hey, we're going to take 2 seasons to figure out where we're going with this? Marvel just fucking shitting money.
So, random question, because we only talked about Marvel shows. Do you think DC or Marvel's doing TV shows better?
Ooh, DC.
DC.
I think DC is still too. Even though all we do is talk about Marvel shows, the DC shows I think are better.
Well, I I can't talk about shows because this idiot doesn't watch anything.
You can talk about literally whatever you want. I talk about shit that you've never even heard of all the fucking time.
The problem is we can't converse about it.
I can converse with you about literally anything.
No.
Hey, Tim, I'm going to talk to you about something you don't know anything about. The clitoris is at the top.
Here's how this conversation is going. Here's how this conversation would go. So far, he hasn't said anything.
Well, he hasn't said anything all day today.
I'm just saying, because he hasn't, he hasn't watched, because he hasn't done things, that's what I'm saying. You can have a conversation with me in the room, but that doesn't mean we're conversing. It just means you're talking.
Yeah, but that's all people care about.
All right. Let's do this. You in that corner. You get Lucille.
But that's why.
Something that's actually heavy.
I literally watch everything. I'm caught up on all of the DC TV shows.
That's my problem, is I just don't have enough time to do all of it.
I haven't caught up on all the DC shows. Like Arrow and Supergirl, I'm not. DC Legends, I'm getting there.
Okay, Supergirl, I haven't. Everything else, I haven't.
Flash is fucking... I think Flash is the best comic book show on TV.
I agree with that.
I 100%
agree. I'm a season behind on that, but I love that show. Like, and it's unbelievably
good. That's a show that this season did fucking amazing because it did not have a speedster villain in it.
Yeah.
It did amazing.
I'm like two or three seasons into all of these shows, but not caught up.
Yeah.
But I can still if you're only two or three seasons, you're about four seasons behind.
Well, I don't watch them live. I only have like Netflix and Hulu, so yeah. I'm always going to be wherever they're at. Minus one. So,
except for Black Lightning. Batgirl? DC, what the hell are you doing with Black Lightning?
Well, it's because it's not connected. I think they do really well because the other shows are all with each other.
Talk about shoving an agenda down your fucking throat, Black Lightning.
But when... So, sorry. That shit. But...
No. I thought you were going to delve into that more.
Ignore Doyle being a racist.
I'm not being a racist.
I agree that that's not racism.
I know. I'm just being a shithead. But I think that's what makes the Marvel... That was racist. But...
This is why I can't post that video.
You can totally post that video.
This is why. You don't know about it because you're fucking affecting everything.
Whatever. You could totally post that video. He interacts with people that are 10 times worse than us literally all the time.
Nope.
Dude, I listen to Tell Him Steve Dave. They are worse than this show by a long shot.
Yeah, but he doesn't go on there and promote them. Oh. I don't think he's ever been on there.
They literally talked about
it. The last show that you did was like 100 times more racist than the shit I say in the first 10 minutes.
With Brian O'Halloran. With Brian.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. That guy does not
shit about his persona in the real world, which is cool.
What you should do is just reach out to him.
No, that is his persona. I think that's him.
So going back, I'm not part of this video we can't post, right?
No.
No.
Okay, I was like, I'm pretty sure I walked the line.
No. As soon as you put the hood on, we turned it off.
No, okay, anyway.
Yeah, that fucking Ku Klux Klan outfit's expensive, man.
I'm going to wear it every chance I get.
They made me pay for that shit. It's got to be fucking expensive. To keep that shit white, it's got to be expensive.
Reminds me, I got to write that down in my notes.
Tide. I'm sure they want to be that sponsor.
If you want to sponsor us, Tide. Keeping the Klan's whites clean. Anyway, going.
That's the name of the episode, I think.
Keeping the Klan's whites clean.
Yeah. Oh, that's fucking crazy. Wow.
Fucked up on a lot of levels than just laundry.
It's so good. Oh, man. So, what makes the Marvel Netflix shows super effective is their interconnectedness.
Right.
That's the same way the DC shows are. And I think they both are on the same level, but for different reasons. Like, if you want a serious take on superheroes and like their lives, then you watch Marvel. If you want comic booky, like comic book shows, you watch DC.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah. Well, also in DC, you have the higher echelon of power.
Yeah.
And then Marvel, you don't yet.
Yeah.
But you also have seven seasons of Arrow, six seasons of The Flash that you know. I feel like I know the characters.
There's just more.
Right.
Yeah. And part of that is because the length of the shows is shorter because they have commercial breaks, so they can film more episodes. And on top of it, they can put out seasons more quickly because of the production scheduling. So,
Yeah, I mean they're adding Batgirl back in this season. Oh, she might get her own season.
Yeah.
So I'm fucking excited for definitely. I know this was supposed to be
Batwoman.
I'm sorry, Batwoman. Yeah, not Batgirl. I'm sorry.
That's why they're like introducing her.
That's what I heard too. So
I'm fucking excited. Hey.
Definitely none of that because she's a lesbian.
That doesn't mean she can't get backdoored.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that's true.
She's just not getting backdoored by a dude.
Yeah. Because she's a lesbian.
She does whatever she wants to do.
Stop pushing your agenda, Doyle.
It's not my agenda. It's their agenda. They made damn sure well we knew she's a lesbian.
They did. Because she just said, I'm a lesbian, and everybody went ape shit over it.
No, it's because every commercial is like the lesbian Batwoman.
Well, yeah, but that's been a part of the vernacular of Batwoman since Batwoman was appearing in Detective Comics.
I think what he's saying is that she's a lesbian, you don't need to tell me she's a lesbian. Let it just happen.
Yeah, that's heterosexual Flash.
It's such an important part of her character, though.
See, I don't know that.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, it is in the comic books. It's a huge part of her
character. At that point, and that was a different point of time in America today. Today, like, a lesbian main character just doesn't... It doesn't shock and awe me at all.
It doesn't need to shock and awe you, but they need to tell that part of the story because it's a super important part of the story.
I agree.
Tell that part of the story.
It should be in the story.
Don't fucking advertise it. Just make it part of the show.
Well, of course they're going to advertise it because they're trying to hit a demographic of TV viewers that isn't watching these shows.
I will tell you, I don't know anything about Batwoman except that she's the lesbian. It's the only thing I know about
Batwoman. And she probably knew Batman at one time.
That or, one would hope.
Either that or she's stunting on his shit for real.
I think she is.
Do you think she knows where the clitoris is?
She definitely
knows. She's probably
knows.
Pro. She's probably pro.
She is miles past our con game. Just saying.
Wow. I'm good.
She's got all those bat gadgets.
That's what the bat
tongue. Man.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're right. Don't post that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, exactly. I'm good with the diversity. I actually probably will sound Republican or conservative saying this. I'm good with the diversity. I just don't need to be beat over the head with
exactly.
it.
Like, I bought Black Lightning as soon as they announced it. I was excited about it, but it's just like every damn episode. It's like
so. I think like a genuine Black Lightning. I think is an aberration. Like I think
that sounded racist.
The way it's presented and stuff. Because I watched like two episodes of it, and you're right. Like it is ham fisted like beyond belief.
They just didn't do a good job at it. Like,
every move you make at that microphone is getting picked up by that microphone.
So what loose. Is going on? Much like other things when I get done with them, it's so loose.
Your own asshole?
Yeah,
like
I don't do much.
So, but what I genuinely think is happening with Batwoman is that they realize that there's a demographic of viewers that they're not tapping into in that community. And they're trying to intentionally say, hey, we have a show for you too. And that's a mistake that advertisers make all the time. Like, let the show just stand on its own merit and that viewership will just come to it. So
yeah, because I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that I don't think that black people like being reminded like you need to believe all these things, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like just
hey,
like you said,
you black?
Like if I like a show,
did you forget you're lesbian? Let's remind you. Like same thing.
I agree. I'm fine with diversity. None of that bothers me. Like it does some things that we'll talk about in the next episode.
Yeah.
But I just don't need to be beat over the head with it.
Right.
Certain shows just do a really bad job at that. That's the reason I'm not didn't get into Supergirl too.
Some shows do it great, some shows don't. Let's do girl power.
And I'm like, you're fucking Supergirl. You're already girl power.
You're like the
embodiment you don't need to do girl power. Yeah.
Like the only
like
thing
you're stronger than Superman. You are the power.
The only thing that comes close to Spice Girls, like you are it.
Yeah.
Girl power.
Wow.
Oh, that's putting Spice Girls on a really...
I like how Tim trips in once in the show and it's to
Fuck
bring
you.
Up Spice Girls.
Fuck you, yo. Spice up your life.
I'm just saying, you put them right at the top of the list. That's pretty impressive.
All right. Cloak and Dagger.
Good.
Thumbs up for me, for sure. Runaways, it sounds like you're thumbs down.
Thumbs down, probably.
Like, Runaways. Considering that I maybe watched, like, 45 minutes of it, I'm going to say thumbs down. Like,
I'm thumbs middle. I'd I watched it once. I think that'll probably be enough.
Yeah. I think I'm still thumbs middle on Legion, too. Even though I couldn't I'm get past it the first time, I haven't gone back to it, and I was interested.
Yeah.
So
my interest waned. I feel like when there's a good show, I'll just go through it, even if I'm like, oh, fuck, I
Isn't
missed
there
a week.
Isn't there another
Let's
show that we're completely missing? Like with kids that like running away with their parents, and they're developing powers, and like the mutants are being persecuted? I know there is, and I can't think of it.
I'm trying to think of what it's called. I know exactly what show you're talking about.
I actually watched a few episodes, and it was
is
fucking good,
too. Is it an X-Men show, too?
Yeah. No, it's the
and
kids.
I forgot about it.
It's the kids whose parents are villains, right?
That's no, Runaways.
That's Runaways.
Oh, shit.
No, these ones is like, this kid is getting bullied, and his powers come forward in like a gym at a dance, and the government knows about mutants and like oppressing them actively. So the kids have to go on the run.
Moment of silence.
Oh, we forgot about Agent Carter, by the way.
Well, yeah, that was short-lived.
I did not even watch that show.
The Gifted.
The Gifted. The Gifted is good. I've watched
any of that show.
I watched a few episodes and then kind of lost track of the show entirely, but it was pretty good.
Huh. I'll have to check it out. Sounds cool. Because that's the one that, oh, yeah, it's the one that's like a straight up like X-Men show. Yeah. Yeah.
The other, I mean, like maybe like last thing, so we got to get moving on. But how do you think any of the shows match up with the original hero show, Heroes?
Ooh,
I haven't
that's
watched
a good
Heroes.
Question, man.
You haven't watched
Heroes?
You should definitely,
good.
At the
I heard
very
it was not
least.
Good.
No. What? You should definitely watch
Heroes
the first
one?
Season
great.
Of Heroes. Because it
Heroes
is great.
Back for a new show?
I didn't watch that, so I don't
yeah.
know about that.
I would say, like, at least the first two seasons Heroes. Of Heroes is really good TV. I would say that Heroes is, like, the prototype for these shows. Like, I think it was the first TV show to really get the storytelling that comic books do right in a television format.
Since The Incredible Hulk.
You know, I genuinely think
I like
better
the
than
Incredible
Hulk.
Hulk.
I can't
because
Incredible
Hulk,
Hulk
is such a...
I like The Incredible Hulk.
I do too, but it's so monster of the week, and it's so...
It is.
You know, what's interesting
it's
is...
That
it's
shit was...
That's how comics yeah. were then, too. Like, the Hulk was a monster of the month comic, and so the TV show was like yeah. that. Whereas Heroes took, like, that kind of, like, X-Men, Chris Claremont style of month to month, a yeah. different... story is told, but an overarching story is told, and that's what Heroes did. Man, I haven't
Heroes.
Thought about that show in fucking forever.
I loved it a lot.
Yeah, I did too. That was back when I watched TV on TV, yeah. and it was Heroes is on.
You mean on cable, maybe?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Like,
no, yeah.
Like on regular,
I was like, I watch TV on my TV
I mean,
all
like
the
on
time.
Regular broadcast
yeah, I got you.
Television.
I got you.
Like, I would literally set aside, you know, Heroes is on at this time. Yeah. Don't fucking bother me. Like, if you called, I would, like, pick up the phone, hang it right up. Like, back
wow.
when.
Not phones, even let you leave a voicemail.
Back when yeah. phones were on the wall.
Come back on the wrestle.
Yeah. Heroes is on, bitch. Bye.
Slam the phone like it makes a difference to the person on the other end.
Yeah, well, it did back then because this was like oh, yeah. a phone because I'm old as fuck.
Yeah.
You know. Probably had dial-up.
That's a good question. I think these shows, all of these shows, Marvel, DC, all of them, rest on the back of Heroes. Like Heroes, I think, was the proof of concept that you could tell these stories effectively in a way that was entertaining and
awesome.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about it is too, is it's like they did that without any background.
At all.
No, they made up their own
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, they just made up their whole universe, and we're like, I think we can do it.
Yeah.
I think we got it.
And it was genius.
Yeah, can you imagine how hard that cell was to like a board meeting? Like,
okay, we want
to
make a superhero show, but it's none of the superheroes you've ever heard of.
Right? We're going to make up all our own shit.
I mean, you would have to go in and be like, it's like the X-Men cartoon, but none of the X-Men real people.
Wasn't the main girl pretty famous, though?
I don't think before this.
No?
I don't think anybody was famous.
She got famous after this.
Yeah. She was famous from it, probably.
Yeah. I don't think anyone was super famous in that.
Hero, the guy that plays Hero, was in Meg.
Yeah. I mean, Spock's in the show.
How
far? He wasn't Spock yet.
Oh, that's right. Quinto is in that show. Huh, I completely
Suck
forgot
it,
about that.
Quinto.
Dude, and he's a fucking crazy, amazing villain,
he's
too.
I don't think there's been a better villain in a comic book show since him that I can think of.
Cottonmouth, for me, that's really the only villain that even
Zachary
comes close.
Quinto in the MCU, who's
he
playing?
Cuts people's heads open. And
Zachary
eats their
Quinto
brain.
In the MCU, who does he play? Oh man,
the Riddler.
That is DC, you dumb
the Riddler.
I didn't hear you say Marvel. I just thought.
He literally said all right, MCU.
All right, fucking fine.
He's we were just talking about DC. Marvel and DC, so I just thought.
Man, in the Marvel universe, he would have to be somebody that.
The Riddler. No,
he would have been, still the Riddler.
He would have been a really good Purple Man. Like, that would have been a really good move for him. Like,
all right, well,
I don't know.
Let's at least jump to the movie.
All right.
Do you want to take a break or do you want to jump right into it?
Yeah, let's take a quick break and then when we come back, we'll do our pop culture classic.
Yeah, bro.
The three.
And we'll end it at the same time. Are we doing three amigos on this one?
Amigos. Yeah, that's what I have written down. Isn't that the order?
Nope, you're wrong, but it's cool.
No, okay, we'll do three amigos next month.
So. All right, Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski.
Yeah, because it was,
shut the fuck up, Donnie.
This is Mark.
And this is Zach. And you're listening to
Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Hey, listeners, welcome back to the show. On the line, I have Jose Pimienta, a.k.a. Joe Pie. He was the artist on The Leg and Soupy Leaves Home, and right now he is running a Kickstarter for a new comic book that's about rock and roll and Mexico called Suncatcher. Joe, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. Good. Thanks for having me here.
Oh yeah, I'm glad we got all the hassles worked out. We're working on two different systems for two different shows sometimes, and so my computer doesn't want to do the things that Juan's computer does. So,
as someone who has been familiar with both using Skype and recording things on Skype, I completely understand where you're coming from. So, like, no need to apologize. If anything, you have my sympathies.
Awesome. Well, so to get this started, tell us a little bit about Suncatcher and like the origin of the story itself, because this is your first, you know, creator owned where you're writing it and drawing it and putting it out there, like kind of on a broader scale. Like, you know, what got you interested in the project and then kind of what's the project about?
Well, I was born and no, I'm kidding. So Suncatcher is, to give you the elevator pitch for it, is the story of a teenage musician in Mexicali, Mexico during the early 2000s, who she discovers that her grandfather's soul is trapped in a guitar, and in order to set him free, she must play the song that her grandfather never wrote. So this takes place in Mexicali during the early 2000s, which is it was an important time for I guess local music back in the early 2000s in my hometown, because there were a lot of like DIY small little punk shows and rock shows, basically put together by students, and I'm talking like high school and early college kids that would just be, you know, they would just have bands and whoever would have like a space such as their aunt's house or like a garage or like if someone had like a tire shop where they could just put a keg and have like a folding table where they can take, you know, where they could charge people at the door. And that was very common, that was very prominent during those times. So that's kind of where, like, that's kind of like the stage for the story. So a huge chunk of the story is also about my main character, whose name is Beatrice. And how by wanting to play her grandfather's song, she's also having trouble like fitting in and or like clicking well with different bands. And when she does get into a band, she starts discovering a whole different other aspect of making music. So to give you, I don't know if that sounds like a like if that's like encompasses like the whole thing. I didn't want to make it too convoluted in that.
It's all good. That, you know, it's interesting, you know, hearing you talk about music and like that kind of time period. I think that was a really important time period just in general for like independent music and, you know, especially when it comes to like what ended up on the radio being called alternative, but what really is like punk. You know, but cleaned up a little bit.
Right. No, of course. And I mean, like, and also, I mean, this is also, I mean, and again, like, I don't want to get like too nostalgic and, or like get too like, oh, in the good old days kind of thing. But like, but I do think that it's important to note that, that the perspective that we used to have for music before downloading was so accessible was a little bit different. And also another reason why I think it's important that this story takes place in my hometown is because it was a border town. And because we were a border town, that also meant that we had access to American networks or to American TVs, TV shows. So that also became like this really big influence, and this became like a really big clash of cultures, if you will, between traditional Mexican upbringings along with contemporary American at the moment type of music. And in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was like a lot of new rock, punk ska, you know, like a lot of skater culture, a lot of DIY, like electric guitars and like happy punk, skater punk, if you will. So that was like a movement. That was a thing. And that kind of became like part of the environment. And those are some of the things that I tried to capture in this book. And it's why the city itself is like its own character, but it's also predominantly about this teenage kid who is obsessed with songwriting and what that means. So
growing up in a border town and then, you know, living kind of in this this kind of current realm of comic book creators, like, how do you feel, you know, your past influences like your present when it comes to how you create comic books and then how you view yourself as like a comic book writer and artist?
Oh gosh. Well, I'm a big believer that we are products of our environment. Even though we have the potential to combat that psychologically, as someone who grew up in the border, a lot of those aspects of being someone from the border became very accentuated when I started living in the U.S. Because I was living on the Mexican side, when I moved to college to the American South, it was like a huge culture shock. And then when I moved from the South to Los Angeles, where I currently live, it's significant. I mean, like I think that the fact that I was growing up in a border city just kind of gave me this perspective that in order to create things, it's important to take as many ingredients as you can and just to have as many influences as you can. Because, I mean, not just with music, and I can talk music all day, but not just with music, but with art in general as well. Because, I mean, a lot of my influences are not just from American films or American animation or the golden age of Mexican cinema and or like telenovelas in a certain way, but also from like a lot of animation that came to Mexico in the early and late 90s, such as a lot of 80s anime or a lot of European cartoons that just because, you know, the Mexican network happened to access the licensing, they could broadcast it in the few national networks that we had. Because also I didn't grow up with cable per se, so we only had access to very few channels. So we had to watch, what was on. And a lot of times it was just things that, it was Japanese animation before anime came to the U.S. or, just watching European cartoons before I even understood what was the difference between an American cartoon and an European cartoon or a Mexican produced cartoon. And I think that that also kind of plays into a lot of the way that I work when it comes into making comics, because someone that was looking over my work kind of noticed like, oh, I can tell some of your influences here, but they're also kind of all over the place. I think that my hometown was a huge factor into the way that I make art or the way that I make the way that I tell stories nowadays. And I think that I like to play that, or I like to emphasize that. I think that that's something that I want to wear on my sleeve, if that makes any sense.
It does. It's interesting, I think because I'm of mixed heritage, so I kind of naturally have that where right. I take things from one side of my family and things from the other side of my family, and then I end up being a mishmash that nobody likes. But no, but it's cool to hear you talk about how, you know, growing up on one side of the border, then moving to the other side of the border, and then just kind of living in those two different worlds has like really made it so that you're this sponge for like ideas that you
right.
that you're putting out. It's funny, when I was a kid, one of my favorite cartoons was like a French cartoon about South America that was produced like in an anime style. So it's, you know, and I had no idea any of that until 20 years later when I finally looked it up on the internet to figure out what it was called, you know?
No, absolutely. Like that rings so many bells to like, to the way that I would want to the way that I would watch cartoons. Cause like, yeah, I mean, like, because there are a lot of European cartoons that would look like they had some anime influence, but then you would look at anime and like I would see like a lot of Americanisms as influence, but then I would look at a lot of American animation from that time period, and it was also it was just kind of all over. So being susceptible and receptive to that, I think that is very helpful, because like it just allows you to welcome as many ideas as you can. And therefore, it kind of gives you like a more interesting task to like edit things, or to consciously pick and choose what you want to add to your story or what you want to retract. Just to get back to you a little bit about like about Suncatcher, like when I first started coming up with the idea for Suncatcher, it was a horrible idea, and it was all over the place, because I knew that I wanted to tell a story that was specifically about music as a whole. And of course, that's just, I don't want to say close to impossible, but that's just, it's just so vague. Like there's no story there. It's just a concept. And I'm sure that some people would be able to make that work. But for me, like I just wanted to tell a story about all kinds of music and music everywhere. And I wanted to talk about Mexican music, but also late 90s, early 2000s rock music in Mexico. Let's put a pin on that, and I can talk about that later. you know, it's like a rock music throughout the U.S., but also like why music was so popular in the 1960s, early 70s, but also where like the sense of color, like it was just all over the place. So I had to like trim a lot of things down. And also, I think that originally the story was going to take place in L.A. With like some scenes in San Francisco, because that was like super important in the late in the early 80s. Like, and it was just like a lot of these things that like I had to polish a whole lot until eventually I was like, okay, what do I want this story to be about? And I kind of originally landed on, I wanted to involve some form of magical realism. I wanted to involve a lot of rock music and or electric guitars, for that matter. And I wanted it to be about songwriting. So I just kind of started throwing in like a lot of ideas. And then eventually, like I remember that I showed a draft to a friend of mine, and he looked at it, and this friend said, it's very generic. Like, I don't understand what town does this – where does this take place? And I said, oh, it could take place anywhere. And he said, that's horrible. Pick a location. And after that, like I just like being like, well, I guess if I needed to be from somewhere specific, and I'm going to be drawing a lot of references from where I'm from, I might as well just have it set there. And then of course, and here's like your little 2 cents of advice for people is like, because research is important. I started talking to a lot of friends of mine that were and are musicians, or that were musicians during that time, and they just started talking about it in a way that it just got me even more interested in that. And I just also started wondering, like, oh yeah, I was in that scene. What do I remember of it, and what happened, and why was it so important (parentheses) to me? But also, why do I think it was so important for the city for about that movement? So it just seemed to make sense to have it take place in a specific location, at a specific point in time, and also just to narrow down the story of what is it about. And eventually I landed on like this story of this teenager who discovers that her grandfather's soul for some reason is trapped in this guitar, and she has to set it free, and at what expense. And Will's like, well, or how do you break that incantation? So obviously there's like a lot of references there to like the Robert Johnson story, which, you know, it's like it's a classic one. And yeah, so I thought that was I thought that needed to be in there, and in order, and it needed to be a part of the shaping of this of this book.
Why do you think it is that so much or I guess so many like Hispanic authors and, you know, creators, you know, even musicians too, are drawn so much to that magical realism style? You know, what is it about the culture that you think kind of creates that mentality to have the normal and the paranormal side by side so much?
Unfortunately, I can't give a very academic answer for this, so
in an academic sense, but like what is it that kind of makes you kind of?
Well, I mean, because you're right that like it is something very prominent. It is something very reoccurring, because I work from home and I listen to a lot of YouTube stuff. Like I do hear like a lot of essays on things like that. Coincidentally, I was just listening to one the other day. Anyways, there definitely is something, and this is very broad, but there definitely is something about the both Central American and South American all the way back kind of cultures where there's a lot of importance presented into dreams or into believing that there is mysticism on our day to day. And that fantastic things can happen in our mundane lives. I'm sure that someone academically can talk way in deeper scope about it. But like the way that I've heard it, I don't disagree, and I do think that there are a lot of aspects where, for myself, like I do kind of like I do think that there is a lot of, you know, magic in the air and like aspects of real aspect of day to day magic. But for me, why it was important to put it in this story, I think it's because I do think that there is something, I guess the word would be, there is something very endearing about a sense of whimsy or a sense of just accepting that there are things beyond the laws of physics on our day to day, and that gives the everyday routine just like a little bit of more weight and a little bit of more validity. And I mean, I guess I can always just go back to the answer. Like, I like it. It looks nice. Like it fits. I mean, for me personally, like, that's something that I guess I would have to be even more introspective about it, of like, why am I so personally drawn to magical realism or to like the, fantasy in the mundane, because it's real. I mean, like, and here's like, for instance, another aspect of, and with all due respect to every fantasy writer out there and every fantasy illustrator, like, there's a lot of things about the fantasy genre or aspect that I appreciate, but if I had to pick, I like urban fantasy a lot more. And not necessarily because of the creatures that it involves, but I think it's also because I relate to fantasy happening on that ground level. So, yeah, I don't know if that answered your question.
But, it does. No, you know, knowing that idea of like the magical within the mundane is in other people's like minds kind of gives me this hope that we can move past some of the bullshit that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And that, you know, maybe one day I am going to run into a guitar that has like the soul of a granddad in it. I mean, you never know.
Absolutely. I mean, like, this is definitely not a Latin person, but like, there was this musician that said, I believe that certain guitars just have certain songs in them. And I definitely agree with that. And tying that in, like, I guess if I had to like get really personal and just kind of like, again, I'm just kind of digging through the subconscious weeds here and kind of going back and going into what you just said. Yeah, I do think that there is something that if I believe in some kind of magical realism or in some kind of mysticism in the mundane or like from the day to day, that also kind of gives personal dreams and aspirations just like a whole lot more arsenal to tackle them. And it's not just this subconscious escape or this this thing to do at the end of the day to just sit on a couch and just have to wonder, but rather more like it also kind of gives a sense of believability that, well, that could be a possibility. So it turns something from a fantasy into something possible. And there's a lot – I think that there's a lot of strength in that. I don't know if I'm just kind of winging it right now, but like I think I would stand by that. Like I would think I would agree like with that of like, yeah, maybe I can cut through the bullshit and just really do believe that I will see my ancestors' presence and maybe they can guide me through this moment of self-doubt. Or like if I were to lose someone, maybe I can have a conversation with them and seek some form of redemption in a way. Does that make sense?
So yeah, it does. You know, and when you think about it, it's not that abnormal because when somebody just says a prayer, they're not really doing anything different than talking to a dead ancestor or, you know, speaking to some spirit that's around them. It's all kind of the same thing that way.
Right. And I think I like that. And I would put, you know, eggs in that basket and like, and I would back that up and be like, yeah, there's something very positive about that, that makes things just be more approachable and just seem more optimistic in a way, whether or not someone would refer to it as like either bullshit or hokey pokey and what have you. It was like, well, okay, well, we're talking about a feeling, right? So it's not like we're arguing logistics.
So speaking of logistics, what drew you to crowdfunding and kind of the self-publishing route of putting out Suncatcher?
I think it was just like that. So I've worked with a couple of publishers before, and I've had very positive experience working with different publishers. But like, for instance, The Leg was crowdfunded and it went very well. And I think that for this one, I think what ended up happening was just that I got to a point where I had finished what I thought was a solid script, and then I started penciling it. And then I started to look for a publisher. But most publishers, to their defense, were asking that in order to make a proper pitch, I had to show finished pages. And take the guilt on this one or take the blame on this one. I think that I wasn't entirely prepared to work on that method of having a set of 10 to 12 or 15 or 20 pages finished so I can start shopping it around. Instead, what I wanted to do is like, I figured I want the whole script done and then I just want to get the pencils done. And then I want the inks to be done and then just take it from there. So I never really had like a finished product or like a sense of how it would look finished in the end to ever show a publisher. So I can understand why the publishers that I did show it to never got back or were not entirely sure about it because I didn't have a finished product to show. So because I was still kind of doing freelance storyboards, which is kind of like my other day job, because I was still doing freelance storyboards, I kind of figured like, well, I have a full plate on that. And I'm doing this comic just kind of like as my own thing. So maybe I should just go like my own way and just do this by myself and then just ask a few people here and there if I can have some of their time to either edit it. But just look through it or maybe give me some feedback, whether it's just the script or maybe it's like some sample pages or like some pencils or the inks. And I just started going on that route, and before I knew it, I had a whole, 187 pages inked. So then I figured, like, well, if I were to shop this around, an editor would do their job and try to edit this. And quite bluntly, I don't know if I have the stomach for that right now. Like, it's a total coward move. Like, it's like, I was just like, I don't know if I have the stomach to take notes and re-pencil and re-ink this. Because here's another thing. This version of the book is probably the fourth version of the book. So I had the first version, I started penciling about 10 pages and then I restarted it. Then I got to 15 pages and I restarted it. Then I did another 20 pages and I restarted it. And then there's this version that is now. So,
like, no more editing. I don't want to edit no more.
Like, I just kind of figured, like, you know what? It's like, I just kind of figured, you know what? Like, just go with the way you're going and see what happens afterwards. And may I say, by the time that I got to letter it, there were so many rewrites that I had to do, so much editing that I had to do, so many captions that I have to get rid of, so many dialogue changes that I have to change. So even by the time that I was lettering it, I was still making changes. So I can only imagine how I would have probably have been a nightmare to an editor on this project. So I kind of figured, like, well, once the book is done, like, I don't want to approach a publisher and just be like, hey, I have this, print it. You know,
right. Don't look at it. Just print it.
Fair. Like, that just seems inappropriate and unprofessional. So I just, you know, I took a page of the old book of some of my fellow friends, cartoonists, if I can throw shout outs. Well, like, huge shout out to cartoonists such as Iron Spike, Aura, and Kel McDonald, amongst many others, who were just saying, like, yeah, just self-publish it. Just go through, you know, just go do a Kickstarter. Why not? It's like, you can do it. It's like, you just, why not do that? By that point, I just kind of figured, like, well, I've already written, penciled, inked, colored, lettered it myself. I might as well just be in charge of trying to quote-unquote publish it myself, although the one thing that I did need is that I know nothing of pre-press, so I hired someone to help me with pre-press. Shout out to Rhiannon. She is fantastic. So I hired someone to help me with pre-press, and then once I decided to do a Kickstarter about it, everyone said, you're going to need like a video for your Kickstarter, so I hired a videographer to help me with that. And then I just like I talked to a few friends. Shout out to Dr. Kara who helped me out a lot as well. And that's where I am now. I mean, just like just kind of running the campaign and trying to tell more people about it and make this try to raise awareness and just like between trying to put my little footprint, because like even though I had a wonderful time working with Van and working with Cecil and working with Kel. On past books, Jason Franks is another writer that I've worked with. Just even though I had a great time, like I think that this one was one that like that I just wanted to do for myself, and that I think I just needed to trust my own skills as a writer, which I'm still not entirely sure about. But yeah, so that's kind of why I decided to go the self-publishing route on this one.
That's awesome. So tell our listeners how they can find it on Kickstarter and then also find you so they can kind of keep up to date on what stuff you're working on.
So you can follow me on Twitter at Joe Pi. That's at @JoePi. I spent a lot of time on Facebook, so I'm under Joe Pi on Facebook if anybody wants to say hi there. You can find my Kickstarter, on Kickstarter at Suncatcher by Jose Pimienta, which is my real name. If you find it there, take a look. We got great rewards. We have pins, stickers, T-shirts, other books that I've worked on. I'm selling some original pages. Check it out. And as you can tell by this, I'm quite the chatterbox. If anyone wants to like exchange stories or talk music or talk records, or just talk comics, I'm down.
That's awesome. It's cool to have like approachable people. And I got to tell you, my favorite interviews are the people where I ask a question and they just talk, because I love to hear what you have to say. Like I'm not interviewing somebody so that I can express my opinion. I have another like 3 hours of show to do that in, you know?
So.
Which- That is an awesome thing about your podcast, by the way, is like that is 3 hours that a lot of the episodes are like 3 hours long. So I just play them in. You'd be like, yeah, I'm just working and listening to these guys talk. So that's, I really appreciate that.
That's awesome. I'm glad you like it. Some people complain. I'm like, whatever. Just you don't have to listen to it all at once.
just like listen for a little bit yourself as well. But I enjoy it. So like so.
That's awesome. Well, Joe, thank you so much for being on the show. Good luck with the Kickstarter. I hope you get it funded. The book looks really, really cool.
Thank you.
And deals with a lot of like subject matter and ideas that I'm really invested in a lot of the time. So I'm gonna pull out my credit card and put a little money down. So
I highly appreciate that. And check it out, everyone. Take a good look. And if you got any questions or anything, feel free to approach me. Just tweet at me and I'll try to be responsive. And again, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate being a guest on the show. So thank you. And also enjoy the rest of your Saturday.
I'm going to do my best. I think I'm going to play a board game with the little one and then maybe watch a little more wrestling. So
So that sounds like a great Saturday. Hello to everyone else on the podcast. And thank you again.
Thanks, man.
Hi, this is Kevin Lee, the writer, producer, and director of World of Darkness, the documentary, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Going through and editing A Month of Mondays, I wanted to make sure to get an ad from this show into A Month of Mondays so that I can make sure to advertise like my main show, like A Month of Mondays.
Yeah, the one that he actively pushes and uses, you know, his social media for.
No, I use social media for this show all the fucking time.
You know how it is.
I don't even run our Twitter, dude. So Carlo, like, this is not an exaggeration.
We're recording, by the way.
Well, I'm still going to tell the story anyway.
Turn off the lights. Everybody pull their pants down and solve this.
So Carlo,
what? You need the lights on to see what's happening down there.
I told you, beard to pubic hair. Just
I assure you, Juan, it's bigger than you think it is. Right?
Which is to say, still super fucking small, but
not much bigger. I mean,
so Carlo. When he opened up our Carlo. No.
I actually really like Carlo. He's a good guy.
Who's Carlo?
The guy that I do A Month of Mondays with.
Okay.
If you don't know what I'm talking about really quick, I should probably say this. A Month of Mondays.
I know it has to do with wrestling.
So A Month of Mondays is a monthly wrestling magazine that I do with Carlo.
Magazine?
We're calling it a magazine show because we don't necessarily talk about the news of the day because it only comes out once a month. So
I appropriated magazine with podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. Like, since it only comes out once a month, we just talk about, like, what's in the general, like, realm of wrestling.
Right.
Things that we're excited about that are happening but not necessarily what happened this week and then things that we love
because it'd be
past.
Way late like our show is.
Exactly, except for way later. Like the episode that's releasing on Monday, we talk about how excited we are for the All In pay-per-view that fucking happened a week ago. So yeah, like it gets a little bass backwards, but anyway, Month of Mondays, you can find us on Twitter at Mondays Podcast. That's probably the easiest way to contact us. But when Carlo signed up for Twitter, like he just went crazy, and like so he's big into retweeting and finding people that he likes and talking about that stuff. Within a week, he had fucking tweeted like 1,500 times. I was like, Jesus, dude, like you're nuts. We have almost 500 followers, and we've been around for a month. Like
that's crazy, though, because if I added someone and they blew me up 1,500 fucking times, I'd be like, delete this.
Yeah, that happens
blanket
sometimes.
Blockbot. He did what I absolutely hate people do in the internet, is they'll write something or do something, and they'll find everybody that's in that sphere and be like, oh, hey, I did this thing. You want to talk about it or retweet it?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I hate that.
Yeah, he does that a ton, but it's working out for us.
Yeah.
So because for every like 15 people that A, don't respond, or B, tell us to fuck ourselves, like that one person says something on their site and it blows stuff up. So anyway, so that's A Month of Mondays. That's a totally different show.
Also
right now. Oh, go ahead.
Side note. He'll never, ever, ever listen to this, but I wanted to congratulate Tyrone Woodley. He fought last night and he's kept his belt. Nice. On the UFC.
Very cool.
He's been on our show before. That's the only
I was like, do we champion?
Oh, God.
He probably, he was on the show for the RZA movie.
I remember that. Yeah.
For the RZA movie.
That makes sense.
He said it right.
Oh, yeah. RZA. Sorry. Yeah, there you go. Sorry. My bad.
RZA.
Two weeks. I got it all fucked up.
Anyway,
we're closing.
So, wrapping up the show. Congratulations, Tyrone Woodley.
It was cool. He knocked him out.
Nice.
He knocked him out, and then he submitted him. I'm sorry.
Very cool.
Did both? Usually they stop you after you knocked them out.
No, he fucking hit him. Pow! He went to the ground, and then he choked him.
Okay, so he stunned him and then choked him out.
Well, he might have been knocked out. I don't fucking know.
So in wrapping up,
sorry, fucking semantics.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm buying.
Never mind. You're good.
Proceed.
Figure it out.
Proceed. So wrapping up the show. Definitely check out A Month of Mondays at Mondays Podcast on Twitter. But more importantly...
Why are you wrapping up that show?
Like wrestling?
More importantly...
Fuck wrestling. I hate wrestling.
That was Juan.
Yeah. I said it in my house.
More importantly, go to www.totlb.com.
Yes.
Find out everything you can about Thinking Outside the Long Box, where you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Facebook at facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox. Twitter and Instagram at @outsidelongbox. You can find our YouTube channel, which you need to go subscribe to, please, for the love of God.
They've actually done, the videos that have been up there have done really well.
And we, there's
so that video that you can't post that you keep talking about, can you post that on the Patreon?
No.
Oh, maybe. That's a good idea.
Maybe, actually.
So...
The whole purpose of the video loses any kind of purpose if I put it on Patreon.
Not necessarily.
But
it can just be a fun thing.
Yeah, so it's there for funsies.
Go to YouTube, tinyurl.com/TOTLBTube. Help us get to 100 subscribers, and then we can call it like YouTube.com/TOTLB or something like that.
So what happens if you get to 100 and then you name it and then you lose a subscriber?
It's already named. Yeah.
So... No takes backs.
No take backs. I named it. Fuck you.
We need 63 more followers, so get on that.
Yeah, please.
Smash
please.
Like button and follow.
Doyle, are you following?
I believe I am.
Yeah, okay. I think so. You can email us with any project that you have. I'm sure you've heard a couple interviews in this episode. There's so many different things that people are out there doing that we would love to talk to you about, whether it be comic books, music, movies, whatever you're doing, we want to talk to you
kneeling
about.
Kneeling during the anthem?
Yeah, kneeling during the anthem, trolling people effectively, if you want to come talk to us about that. You can email us at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com. That's the best way to set up interview time with us. Juan will get you onto our very busy schedule.
I was going to say, if you email me, give me time.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, do I have a lot of emails.
Which is
awesome. So give me some time.
You can also give us a call at 970-573-6148 at the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline. May he rest in peace, midget-loving porn bastard.
I kind of hope he's not resting in peace. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's aggressive.
Jesus. Yeah, I hate him and he's dead. Not really.
No. Wow.
Wow, Michael. That was Doyle.
Yeah. Send him your trolls.
It's only because I don't know why he won't come back on the show, Michael.
Oh, I think it's because his wife is upset with him.
Okay. Yeah, she doesn't like us.
She doesn't like that we equivocated midget porn in him. So
He did that on his own.
I know he did that on his own, but much like people blame us for the butt plug enthusiast.
Fucking whatever. I told you at Denver, like I had two people come up to be like, "Oh, you're the butt plug guy." I'm like, yeah, that's me.
That's me. I love butt plugs.
Woo! Tell Marvel.
They both bought some.
Hashtag Marvel's not calling.
In fact, one of them got a commission, so thank you to whoever that guy was, because I don't.
I think it was Wade. I think it was Wade's kid, wasn't it?
No, that was the.
Oh, that was
that was
else.
The
that
drawing
was the
in question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways. Ooh, be sure to give us a review, rate us wherever you listen to our show, subscribe, tell a friend. Like if you think,
that's the biggest thing. Tell a friend, retweet it, share it on Facebook. Word of mouth is the biggest thing.
If you have a sense of humor like ours,
and leave reviews,
and have a friend with a sense of humor like ours, tell them. And if they don't know how to do a podcast, show them. It's super simple. Like
side note, I don't want reviews because then we get stupid reviews that are say that Doyle's the best.
Doyle
is the best.
I think that was a legit review. I don't think it was.
I think it was somebody we knew.
The last
people love
two,
me.
The latest two reviews reference shit about Doyle.
You wouldn't believe it, but I'm semi Teflon. I'm like,
and the guy
semi Teflon.
And the guy.
For some reason people just don't hate.
And Teflon, the guy who gave us a kind of semi crappy review deleted it.
Really?
So all we have is 5-star reviews.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah. I don't know why. I didn't fucking ask him to.
He probably listened back, realized he was being a total and complete douchebag, and went ahead and took care of his own shit.
Yeah. Wow. Well, he's going to put his review back up.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. We'll take all comers. Anyway, say whatever.
Anybody who's wanting to come.
We'll take all of you. All over my face, neck, and chest.
So much cum.
So much chest.
If
prefer not
so
face.
Much hair. if you want to
my eyes are up here.
If you want to support the show, you can go to Amazon.com. Amazon.totlb.com. You can buy things the way you buy things on Amazon. Normally, it's totally
no extra price,
no extra cost. It just kicks us back like a few cents, and then that helps us out some. You can go to our shop at totlb.com/shop. That basically just puts you to where you can buy our amazing products from Etch and Sketch Glassware. There's all sorts of cool things up there.
I'm trying to get more. I really am trying to find a spot for hats, find a spot for
Michael Jackson gray or black again.
Not just that hat, but I want people to be able to buy our hats and our shirts and shit.
I just need to figure all that stuff out.
I need to find time, too. Yeah. That's really – because I'm not a computer programmer by any sense of the imagination.
What I need to do is step up. I think is what you're saying.
No. Because I don't.
Too busy with his regular.
We could all step up.
Even if you source, the place, I still need Albie or Heather to plug it in, and that's the thing. But
and of course,
and they're going separate ways, and so it makes things complicated. And
so that they're a horse.
Albie, sort your house out.
The big D word.
Ooh, sorry, Albie.
Dicks. Albie's just been
big dicks in your ass. Bad for your health. It's a great joy.
I don't think it is.
I'm Juan.
No, we're not done yet at all. Of course, the most important way that you can support us is go to patreon.com/TOTLB, where you will see an exclusive video that we cannot release to the public.
Because of Doyle.
Because of Doyle. Because
nothing to do with
we would know we so were serious.
I'm going to write the story. I'll write the background
to the
whole thing.
You write the background to the whole thing and why.
Why
we can't
Doyle
post
ruined
this publicly
this.
And why you wasted $50 of Juan's money. Go to patreon.com/TOTLB where you can join Chad, Ryan, Derek, fuck you, Doyle, Devin, Taylor, Jason, Steve, Christine, Doyle. Molly, and Michael in supporting our Patreon page. For as little as $1 a month, you can help the show out and watch this video that Doyle ruined. For
Michael and
everyone.
Molly got stickers, hopefully.
Yeah.
I sent all that stuff. I'm a little behind on some of that, but I'm doing my best to get all that shit out.
And
so.
I'm going
to
be changing a few of the – or like updating some of the tiers. We have a couple ideas for some of that stuff, and I need to get rid of one of them that is like way past due. And
I'm thinking about
– not past due like I didn't send it out, but like the event happened a fucking year ago, so it
and
makes
I'm,
no sense.
I'm trying to source – everybody's Christmas gift this year. So
ooh, I hear from Etch and Sketch, right? Or no?
Maybe.
I don't know. You didn't tell me. You just asked me.
I know who, I didn't tell you.
You asked me who gets it.
Yeah.
You were like, who should get one? And I was like.
And we left Doyle out.
Yeah,
or Tim out. We left Tim out.
No, I said Tim.
No, we put Doyle in because he's a Patreon supporter. Oh. I left everybody else out who wasn't a Patreon supporter.
That's right.
And that happened to be Tim.
Yeah, that's fair.
Tim, go fucking support us on Patreon.
Yeah, it's $5. Really?
A dollar. Give
you're
us a
thinking
dollar.
About buying a Nintendo fucking Switch.
And you can't
and
afford
you don't
a dollar
$5 for your friends?
No.
Wow. Woof.
You know who else you forgot?
Who?
Should I shame you?
Sure.
You forgot Albie. Remember? I was like, maybe Albie should get one. You're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. I do need Albie.
Anyway, with that said, this has been episode 97 of Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Three episodes. We're trying to source a spot to have it. I think it's going
have you heard
to be.
Back from that guy?
I don't know if he listens, so I don't want to be overly aggressive towards him. I heard back. I heard back from Ryan. I think is what his name was. I can't remember now. My mind is mush. But apparently he does trivia for a few different bars, and I didn't know or spots. I didn't know how I should take that. If he works at or if he's an organizer, or like if he just happens to know them and is like, hey, I'll do trivia for you. So I don't know if I legitimately have a spot with him. But we're looking for a spot in Denver.
Yeah.
Whether that's Denver, Aurora area. Or whatever the fuck that is. We're looking for a spot down there, probably middle of November.
Right.
It's a little weird because I'm going out of country with my wife for
to
our
Cuba.
10-year anniversary. Yeah. So
but we're gonna do a live
I'm
show.
I'm gonna bring you back some rum.
Ooh, nice. We're going to do a live show for the 100th episode.
Yes.
That's going to basically be, I think we're going to do like a little bit, and then we're going to have like kind of a party that we probably won't record, but we might have a mic set up to do like confessional.
We'll record. Kind of we'll
thing.
Record some things.
Well, I know, but not like a super long recording.
Right. That's the thing. I wanted it to focus more on us getting to the 100th episode. If the 100th episode ends up being like 30 minutes, that's fine.
Yeah.
I just wanted it to be more of a get together.
I think it'll be fun
else.
To do like a confessional booth, though. And of course, Juan and I will be getting our tattoos. So.
Yeah, but not on that episode,
no.
I don't think.
Well.
Well, I mean, the video will probably come out around the episode.
It will probably release with the episode.
All right. I'm cool with that.
So, anyways.
If you ever talk to your tattoo artist.
Jesus.
That's his name? Is he good?
Yeah.
Huh.
Nobody so fucks with
he
the
works,
Jesus
He man. Works miracles.
Oh, wrong yeah. episode. Sorry.
Yeah, wrong episode, dumb fuck. That was 2 weeks ago.
Sure. Yeah.
Did we already say who we were? Did we go around?
No.
Oh. With that said, this is actually the end of episode 97 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Tim.
I'm Gabe. Wait, I'm Doyle.
Doyle. I was like, well, I'm Juan.
Oh, man, we will see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Baron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Baron Space production.